Saturday morning. Time to start that Saturday morning routine. And what's a Saturday morning without... Well, yeah, that too. But you also gotta have About Your House.
Oh, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll free 877-770-7050 or online carolinafoundationsolutions.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Tuning in the weather here. You bear with me a minute.
Vibrate.
Hey, and my crowd is here. The tribe is in the house. Who be the tribe? I mean, I'm not sure. No. I've got guests today. It's going to be a great show, folks. We're talking wildlife, outdoors, and who knows what else. Thanksgiving, the holidays. If you got a remodeling job coming up that you want to get done before Christmas, you're crazy as hell. It won't happen. So that's the word on that. We're going to talk more about that and much more stuff. But it's just a beautiful day in the neighborhood. But I got to open it with this. Have you been outside last week? Are you looking at the trees? Wow. Wow. Now, where in the world is that coming from? Find the phone.
Your phone.
Yep. So cut that off. Pardon me. Let me do my professional etiquette here and turn everything off. There we go. But, no, it's autumn, and the trees are vibrant coming into the studio this morning. God, I'm running up a stretch of road, and you just got these vibrant reds and these beautiful yellows. And I went to the mountains this week up in Sparta, North Carolina, which is up in the northwest corner of the state, and stayed in a little mountain cabin up there. Wow. Wow. Man, it's just so invigorating. I turned my dang phone off. I said, to hell with the world. I'm up here in the woods. And last night, me and Mary were talking about, she said, you didn't do one post. You didn't Facebook. You didn't. I said, I didn't want to do that. That was work. See, if you, you know, I don't think we know, and this is something I thought about. I talk a lot of, you know, life stuff on this program. We're too addicted to these damn phones. We really are. We need, and Kaylee, I walked out and saw her. She's one of our guests. We'll introduce her in just a sec. She's on her phone. But that's the age thing. You know, and my girlfriend, I have to say, she's on it way too much, too. But there again, that's just me talking. Who am I to make judgments or make calls? It's too crazy. But can you just cut it off? I mean, can you literally just cut the damn thing off and walk out in nature and hug a tree or listen to the brook or watch for fish in the water? I know it sounds crazy, but we're out of touch. We truly are. Well, I'm not anymore because I, you know, this is TMI. You know what TMI?
Oh, yes.
Too much information. We were out in the woods. Nobody was close to us. Nobody but the squirrels and the wildlife and the birds. Oh, man, it's beautiful. And you could run around there naked if you wanted to. And I did about that all day Wednesday or Tuesday, one of the days. I woke up and I had bare feet. You know, got up a beautiful morning. Beautiful sun's coming up over the hills. Oh, wow, color. Just beautiful. And a brook, we're right beside a river. And you could hear the water. Ooh, law. And didn't need any drugs or anything. Just go out and get high on life, you know. And that I did all day. I did not put a stitch of clothes on except the shorts I had on. That's it. It was just beautiful. Got grounded. Oh, Lord, and there's a swing with a gazebo down by the water. We took a trip down the Blue Ridge Parkway. If you're new to this area, that'd be North Carolina, and there's a lot of migrants coming in this here city. Get your butt up to the mountains. Within 2 hours, you can be anywhere from Virginia line to the South Carolina line. You know, you can ride on the Blue Ridge Parkway and just get, oh, wow. That was the word of the day. Wow. You know, if you've never been up there, and every year I go, and you never know what you're going to catch or what peak. You know, you could say, is it peak? If it wasn't, it sure missed it a day or two because it was absolutely beautiful. And enjoy Charlotte. And if you've never gone on the Greenway is a beautiful, beautiful, you know, amenity of this here city. And I don't know how long it is now because it's constantly growing. And it's just a beautiful nature walk in the lowlands around Irwin, Sugar Creek, all the creeks. I don't know. It's all the creeks running through Charlotte.
Alpine, yeah.
And
McMullen,
thank you. Steve Hughes is in the house, the wildlife.
Wonders.
The wildlife wonder. And I say that because he's many things. He was a house painter. Painted walls, you know, and exteriors, correct?
Painted murals.
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Oh.
I'm going to get to that.
Excuse me.
Well, let's start with the house, okay,
yeah.
Just to understand.
I had a house painting company for 21 years.
There you go. He painted houses and residential, like I said, 21 years. You don't do it no more at all? I don't think you do.
Well, I say I did do one of the girls that helped me, like Kaylee.
Yeah.
Emily. She moved in her parents' house. They moved to the beach, and I did go over there and paint her house recently.
I hear you.
So but as a general rule, I'd rather paint pictures and carve and give lectures.
Right. See, he's also an artist, you know, which, you know, he's a very passionate man. I go after passion and people because they're just anyone with a passion and a great purpose is typically a wonderful, intelligent conversation. And I surround myself, if I possibly can, with intelligent, passionate, purpose-filled people.
Oh, well, you did that today.
That's why you're here.
Exactly.
You know, people come in this studio, what are we going to talk about? Well, you do. Well, a lot of things. That's what we're going to talk about. You know, that's why you're here. You know, something brought you here, and it's your passion and your purpose, and that's what this show's all about. Not only that, we talk about put tools in schools. A great deal, and we're going to talk more and more about it because purpose, it's really all about happiness and purpose. You know, you're a happy guy, aren't you?
For the most part.
Yeah. You stay, ever since
you
I've known you.
Talking about the government would be all
no,
right.
No, we can't do that.
That's right.
No, like I said, I left the woods. When I went to the woods, all that left behind.
Yes.
You know, and I didn't even want to have a conversation about it. Really, I didn't. You know, but anyway, that's another story. But yes. You're a happy guy, right?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're always content.
I like life, and
and
my favorite place is probably in the woods because I'm either snake hunting or hawking or
right.
flying the birds. Or
give a little background on who Steve. He's been on the program. Oh, good Lord! I don't know how many times through the years.
20 years, probably.
It's been 25.
Oh, okay.
But time flies when you're having fun, mm-hmm. and you have the purpose. Mm-hmm. What do you do? That, I get that question a lot. And, you know, I have to sit there and ponder, and I say, what do you want me to do? That was my answer. But what do you do?
Well, for the last 11 years, minus the COVID year.
Right, yeah. Well, let's just
I gave wildlife lectures at mostly Providence Day, the Fletcher School, Carmel Baptist, which are all private schools.
Right.
But then I gave lectures at, like, Lori's Backyard Birds. I still give lectures for her. And then festivals and universities. Like next Wednesday, I got to go to Wingate and give a talk.
There you go.
So, and then I paint pictures and carve animals and sell them.
Yep. And you can see his art and buy his art at Backyard Birds. But we'll introduce Lori here in a minute. Mm-hmm. I got to finish with you first. when did you grab art, the art side of it? I mean,
When I was about 8.
Really? So you've been there the whole time?
And I was born and raised on Walker Road, right kind of near Cotswold.
Okay, yeah.
So I grew up exactly in Ollie, Charlotte, and worked at the Nature Museum by the time I was like 13. Mm-hmm. Me and Johnny Mackey, who was the last director of Discovery Place.
Right.
We grew up together. And
gotcha.
We just went to the mountains a few weeks ago to the Smoky Mountains in Maggie Valley and saw the wild elk.
Oh, yeah.
We took a photo. Yeah. He's a photographer now.
What's funny is you go to Maggie Valley or one of those communities up there, I can't remember, and you can't fire weapons up there and it's congested, but the deer run around there like dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's crazy.
Right out of Maggie Valley, you know, when you're in the little town, it goes out.
Oh, yeah.
John, he knew where we were going. I didn't know where we were going. But as soon as we got right at the edge of the town, we look over, we're going to take a right, and there's 3 elk standing right there next to the road in the town.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, you know, there are quite a few.
And that's part of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful state, and there's so much to see in North Carolina.
And they release those things. It's been quite a number of years mm-hmm. ago when they did it, but elk used to be found here long ago.
Right.
You know, they were just kind of killed out.
Gotcha.
But
maybe they're going to thrive again.
I think so. Now they've left the preserve, and they're in people's yards and this
right.
and that. But I have no doubt sooner or later they'll probably put a season to shoot them because there'll be too many of them.
Have you had any elk meat?
Yeah, I have.
Really?
Yeah. We were just, that's funny you said that. We were talking about eating things. And
well, we're going to talk
Lori
more about that.
Lori was telling us all the things she ate.
Yeah, we're going to talk. This is a topic over here. Lori Horn's here from Backyard Birds. And Backyard Birds, and we're going to share microphones because we're in this little bitty studio. You got plenty of room over there. But I've never met Lori until about last month. I've been in her store a time or two through the years because it's a very unique store, Backyard Birds, down at 51 in Independence, basically, right mm-hmm. across the street from Target there in the little strip shop in front of the...
Across from Home Depot.
You said a bad word.
Oh, across from...
the orange
Harris
store.
Harris Teeter.
No, that works. No, the orange store.
Right next door to the Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
set.
But Lori has been... Well, I'll let... I'm going to ask questions, and you'll hear me in the background over here because, like I said, we got a dinky studio here, and we're going to make it work. But Lori Horn, and first
yes.
of all, Backyard Birds, what's the address?
1819 Matthews Township Parkway, right next door to the Dairy Queen.
There you go. Yep. Everybody knows yep. where Dairy Queen
yes.
is.
Yes, I hope. It seems like it.
Yeah, that's a nice restaurant next door.
Yes, and Mickey's. That's a very nice restaurant.
I love it. How long have you been doing Backyard Birds?
I've been doing it I've owned it for almost 9 years. Backyard Birds is going on 26 years. It's been, Roger Ford opened it 26 years ago this coming spring.
Is that Roger that was in the store?
No, that's his son.
Oh,
his son. Yes, his son Jason and his daughter Carrie, he sold it to them. They ran it for about 10 years and sold it to me, and they both still work there with me,
gotcha.
Which is very, very nice.
Yeah. What do you call your store? I mean, what's your passion about it? You bought it for, why'd you get it? Why did you buy a backyard bird?
When I came to Charlotte, I bought a home and I started feeding the birds out back, and I found the backyard birds. I found the store and I was going there every week. I mean, they had so many unique things, and you could learn different foods, attract different birds, different houses. Just, you could learn a lot by going in there and asking questions and also experiment. I mean, I learn a lot from my customers today. They do experiment.
Okay. We're gonna share much, like I said, but the reason she's on this program is because we're moving into the winter months, okay? You know, when it gets cold, birds don't, you know, the food's just not as plentiful in the winter. And birds are absolutely a wonderful part of nature that I thoroughly enjoy. I mean, birds are fantastic. I mean, they're so, I can sit here and tell you stories about birds. I know that sounds crazy, but see, in the mountains, I watched a squirrel jump from tree to tree to tree to tree to tree to tree. I know that sounds crazy, but I just sat there and watched the squirrels because they're amazing animals. But the birds are no different. And most people in the city hate squirrels because they're raiding your bird feeders. Okay. Well, you know why? Because you're not feeding your squirrels. You're feeding your birds. You feed your birds bird feed, and you feed your squirrels sunflower seeds. Because the birds really don't, I mean, the squirrels really don't want the bird seed. They're just after a part of what's in that bird feeder. Would you agree or disagree?
In some ways, I agree, but squirrels are kind of funny. They take a challenge to get into a bird feeder. There are ways to prevent that, and it does help to feed them somewhat. They will eat theirs and bury it and hide it, but then they'll go to the bird feeder as well. And a lot of people feed the birds and feed the squirrels as well. But if you want to keep them out of out of your feeder, there's lots of ways to do that. There's squirrel-proof feeders. You can hang your feeder on a shepherd's hook and put what they call a metal baffle around the pole so the squirrel can't get up. It just needs to be about 10 feet away from anything that they could possibly jump from because they can leap that far. But, you can do that. Or we have actually from Brome, they call it the squirrel buster. When the squirrel gets on it, it closes down, and that's a popular feeder.
Gotcha. But we're against the clock. We got to take a break. See, we're going to come back with Lori and Steve and hear Kaylee's story as well. Yeah. Kaylee, how old are you?
I'm 14.
She's 14,
almost
a student.
15.
Almost 15. I will call you 15 because actually you're in the 15th year. You just ain't made it yet.
Yeah,
see, when you turn 14, every day thereafter.
She's 15 to 14.
Yeah, 15. Okay, we're going to talk to Kaylee and learn her story as well. I love kids on the program because they're here for a reason. And she's definitely got a passion for something, and she's going to share it with us. So come on back about your house right here on Fox Sports Radio, 94.7 FM. If you got one of them HD fancy radios, 103.7 HD. But by far, just yell at Alexa. Alexa, tune in Fox Sports Charlotte, and she'll tune you right on in. You don't have to do nothing. Or if you got that Google mechanism, go there and or stream us live. Fox Sports Charlotte, free app, download it. Or go online, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. There's ways to hear us beyond the radio. And we're practicing streaming, so we're going to be on social media here in a week, if not today. Hacksaw's over there playing with something. So maybe he'll get it by the end of the show. We don't know, but we're going to go there. We'll get there. Just bear with us. We've been saying it over 2 years, so what the heck? You know, good things take time. We'll be right back with more about your house.
Watched you from afar. When we were lovers, I loved you with all my heart. We'll be right back.
It's good to be back. Welcome to About Your House every Saturday morning, 8 to 11. We're here talking to somebody about something to do with your life, and it's about your house, but your home is your house, and it's all about you and what's in it. So there you go. All right, weather. Let's talk weather a moment. You know, it's moving right on into winter. Supposed to be a low of 34 Monday night. Man, that's close to freezing. But we're hanging in the 50s, but, you know, so down into 30s and hanging into 40s in the evenings, you know, overnight. 57, 60. Beautiful, beautiful fall weather. Get out and enjoy it. Get out and enjoy nature. Man, there's so much great health in nature. And to mention health real quick, next Saturday on the show, loaded with great information from doctors and health enthusiasts and people with purpose in health and wellness, and not mainstream, okay? So we're going to hang it out there next Saturday with health and wellness and see what we can put together. Dr. Jerry Ferris may be in the house. We're trying to hook him up. Cammie Benton from Benton, she's an MD. We will talk to her, meet her, find out her purpose and passion, which is wellness, functional medicine, and holistic as much as many other things. So we're going to dive deep into health and wellness. Folks, health is wealth. And, I preach that a lot. But here I sit. We're the same age, aren't we? Steve, roughly same age. Here's two healthy guys. You know why we're healthy? Because we move. We don't quit. We keep on getting it. So if you got a purpose in life, it's easy to do that because you never retire. You just keep doing what you do. And that's something, none of my business what you do. But I want you to live long, prosperous. And if you live healthy, you don't have to worry about going to Walgreens or CVS. You just don't need to. You really don't. So think about it. Join us next Saturday. We'll talk more about that, and I'll leave it alone for now. Although, got to talk about Thanksgiving coming up. I got a recipe to share. Somebody texted me last night. One listener says, Ray, will you talk about your brine for smoked turkeys? Yep, Thanksgiving's just, well, next week, right? Not this week after next, Thanksgiving. What do you like to eat? I'm going to talk about that a little bit, too, because I got people who like to eat in the house, you know. But I don't eat a lot. I just eat one meal a day, and people look at me, how you do that? Just eat one meal a day. It's real easy. All right, let's get back on track here. Lori Horn, owner, principal CEO, ooh, I like that title, of Backyard Birds over in Matthews area. A great store, and, you know, she's here to talk about wildlife as she sees it, and she does it every day, every yep. day. But there's a story to this gal. And, you know, we talked about the elk earlier, and I want to ask you a question. Have you ever gone out in the woods and got your food?
Yes.
See, yes. See, Lori, you tied to Alaska. Where were you born? Where are you from?
My family's in Illinois. All kind of scattered throughout the state of Illinois.
So that's where you're from?
Yeah. Yes.
Illinois?
Yes.
Okay. And then I understand you lived in Alaska.
Yes.
I want to hear the story.
My family, we moved to Alaska. There's my mom and stepdad and four kids. And a dog.
Mom, stepdad, and four kids.
Two of them in diapers. Fixed up a
school. So six families. Yeah. Six members.
And a German Shepherd. Fixed up an old school bus as a camper. Pulled behind an old Army Jeep. And we drove to Alaska, across the Alcan
how
Highway.
How old were you?
Six.
So how old were your siblings, if you don't mind?
They were 5 and 6 years young. Yeah, so they were, was under a year.
They're infants, year, yeah. basically. Yes, yeah. Small kids. Yeah. You're the oldest?
I had an older stepsister that was 3 years older than me. Yeah.
Gotcha. So man.
Yeah. So it was a trip. It was a couple weeks. I think we took 2 weeks to get up there. And we didn't know anybody. They went up there with the idea my parents went up there with the idea to homestead. So we got up there and they got into this
and
old,
you were six?
Yeah. So I don't remember a lot. I remember stories, but I do remember some of that. I remember sitting in this old lodge. It was a little lodge off the Chattanooga River. And we're sitting there talking to a bunch of people, and they started saying we're looking for a place to live. So we ended up living in this, it was a Clary mine, and it was an old mine house, and we lived there. So my mom had gone from cooking on electric stoves, everything electric.
Big city girl.
Big city, yeah. She was a farm girl, but everything was electric. She
sure.
Didn't have, yeah. To cooking on a wood cook stove.
Uh-huh.
So we had no running water, no electricity, nothing.
Well, that's why I was asking, because I told you it was very coincidental this week. I was in the mountains. I said I unplugged, but yet there was a TV, which I normally don't watch. But there, just turn the TV on, and boom, believe it or not, there on Netflix was a story about Alaska, a show about Alaska. So I watched it, and I said, wow, because I knew Stephen mentioned that you – lived in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And there you go. How far was it to anything?
It was,
if you can remember,
44 miles from Fairbanks. We were out on Steese Highway. It was a gravel road for years. I mean, the last few years they paved part of it, but it was 44 miles away.
How long did you live there?
Till I was about 18.
Oh,
18.
Whoa, yeah. Whoa, whoa.
So that's where I grew up.
6 to 18.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Did you build the house? I mean,
yep. To homestead, you had to. Right. Yeah.
That's what this guy did on the
Homestead Act. You had
to exactly.
Build a house and develop grow something on 20 acres. And that's what we did. And then, of course, went on from there, too. But, yeah.
How'd you get power?
We didn't for a while, but we had a little generator we'd start up to when we needed power. When there's times you need power, we had a generator.
So you didn't need power all the time?
Not all the time, no.
Most people have no
Coleman
concept
lanterns.
Of this, Laura.
Yeah.
No concept.
I noticed that. And as a kid, you accept it. I really think I would love my mom to write a book about all of her experiences.
I can
because
imagine.
As a mother with kids in diapers and going up there, and she grew up on a farm and she knew how to do things. But
apparently.
But it was, that's a lot rougher in Alaska than Illinois. You know?
Oh, it's rough. Yeah, it's brutal in the winter.
Yes.
And, there's two things Steve mentioned that you've got to have in Alaska.
Chainsaw and a snowmobile. We didn't have a snowmobile for a long, long time, but we did have a chainsaw.
And a four-wheel drive vehicle.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And sometimes that wouldn't work. I mean, when it would start snowing, there'd be feet of snow. Not inches, it'd be feet. And you'd be snowed in for days.
What's the coldest you ever been in? No.
Around 50-ish, 50 below. Probably
50 below.
40 below a lot, but, it had gotten down to, I can remember.
Oh, 40 below. We had a hot day yesterday. It was 40 below zero.
I can remember as kids when it got to 20 below, we could go out and my mom was like, okay, you guys can go sled. But we still had to get out and do our chores. We had animals to take care
of and bring in wood
and everything.
See, living
under
those circumstances, and, I discussed this with Mary this week, life is a job.
It is.
Life is a everyday activity, task, jobs. You can never stop.
You don't stop. You don't. I mean, you don't. You know, if you get sick, you keep going. You know, you just keep. You have to bring the wood in. You have to feed the animals. You have to get water. We had to haul water from a creek.
But you didn't get sick that often.
No, I can remember one time being very sick in my whole entire childhood.
Because you were healthy. Because you are an animal.
Yeah.
And you're an animal, and you. You behaved in Alaska like an animal,
he
basically.
Is an animal.
Yes, I am. Yes, but it was. It's a different lifestyle. It definitely.
What'd you eat? Oh, here's a good one.
Oh gosh.
Because you were out in the middle. There wasn't a. See, people take so much for granted because, you can get up. Oh, I got to run a store, hon. I'll be back in a little while. You need anything?
Uh-huh.
There was no store.
No.
There was no store. There was no Circle K. There was nothing. For how many miles?
44 miles.
My God.
Yeah.
People don't realize. They see Alaska on TV and all these shows, and it's beautiful, and the snow's falling. But they don't realize that you can die very quickly in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
If you fall in the water in the wintertime, you will die. And if you're not right at your house, you can die in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That water is probably the most dangerous thing in Alaska in the wintertime,
right.
Is the water.
Right.
We would, we ate, of course, we fished. We had a garden. We had a huge garden. We grew potatoes and cabbage grew up there. It's a very short growing season. I think we started in, I want to say May, and it, by September it was done. It was, the first frost would hit. So you, but that was cabbage.
And you stored carrots. A lot of things too.
Oh, yeah. Stored
had
a lot.
Root cellar as weak, mm-hmm. you know, or basically
canned it, stored it, and froze it. It's not hard to freeze stuff up there. and we had and salmon. At one point, we my stepdad was a commercial fisherman, so we did a, we had a lot of salmon all the time. Moose. I've eaten black bear.
Now, did you go? Did you hunt?
Yes.
Have you ever gone and shot, hunted, and all? Because you. Oh, by the way, I got to mention this. Alaska is the only state in the union that doesn't require permits for carrying a weapon. You know, and 60% of everybody carries a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't go out in the wilderness in Alaska without a weapon. Why? I think there's 30,000 black bear and like 20-something thousand grizzly bears, and a grizzly can take your head off with one swoop of a paw.
And they can definitely outrun you.
Absolutely.
Have no fear. They can run 25 miles an hour.
We also
grizzlies
did a lot.
Don't climb trees, but blackberries can
right.
climb trees.
That's why Steve's here. He lives in the woods with the bears.
Right. I've seen them. But they're dangerous.
Of course
that's,
they are.
That's why. But elk and deer are dangerous in the rut.
Oh, yeah.
And a moose
yeah. I've been
will
chased
trample
by a moose.
You.
Yes, I've been chased by a moose.
Yes, a
yeah.
moose, especially with
yeah.
calves.
She was cornered, and yeah.
Is extremely dangerous. Yeah. So you need a weapon.
But we we also did a lot of berry picking. We picked blueberries, cranberries, high bush cranberries. We did a lot of that. And one of us, before kids and my mom, we'd be picking, and the dog. And one of us kids always had to carry a gun to watch for bear. So that was our job.
See, and that's why I wanted Lori on the show. Because, see, this is, we take so much for granted, you know. We really do. And you worry, and mosquitoes.
Horrible. Absolutely the worst place in the world for mosquitoes.
That's weird because you'd think Alaska would be somewhat moderate on mosquitoes.
And they would freeze to death in the winter and not come back. Yeah, they come back. They're huge.
And they're just virulent. I mean,
yeah.
they're
yeah.
unbelievable.
In your eyes,
did,
in your nose.
Yeah.
Did you ever wear a net?
Yep. I had to. A lot of times you had to. Yeah. It was unbearable. Mm-hmm. Unbearable.
We saw this in that special, yeah. you know, the show we saw. So, and I couldn't believe, I mean, even the camera, you could see all the bugs flying around.
Yeah.
You know, it's real buggy.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that? Here you are an adult. I mean, it was normal to you, though.
I think all of us kids were young enough that we accepted it. I mean,
it was just life.
It was life. That's why I said, I can't imagine being an adult and doing that like my mom did. I just can't imagine. And, you know, it would lighten up in the wintertime. It'd lighten up around 11 o'clock. 10, 11 o'clock, but it would never get bright.
Because the sun was really low.
Yeah. And then it would go by 3 o'clock and start getting dark again.
Did you live in the dark ages? In other words, it would get dark, stay dark for weeks?
Not quite. No, just that it would be dusk. It would be dusk for several months. And then in the summertime, it's light all the time. Right. Where our house was, or our home on the side of the mountain, the sun would go down. It would go behind this little hump in the mountain for about a minute, and then come right back out. So we had sun all 24 hours.
Okay, now, how'd you get a house?
Built it.
Y'all built it?
We all built it, yes.
We all built
yes.
it. So you're pretty good with tools. No.
I helped build it.
Well, but yeah. that's a lot.
Yeah. I can.
To build a house is a lot,
Lori. Yeah, it is.
I mean, and you did it with your family.
I know how to do it. I'll put it that way.
Right.
I know the basics.
And you've used a few tools here and there.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. I still have a chainsaw. That's what I wanted for Christmas last year. I got a chainsaw.
What kind did you get?
I don't remember.
Okay.
It's nice to be able to go out and trim up what you want to trim up.
Oh, yeah. I've honed a few myself through the years. Mm-hmm. And cutting wood.
Mm-hmm.
You've done quite a bit of that.
We go down and cut the trees. We had a caterpillar there for a while. Well, we did. We always had a little caterpillar. We drag them up, then we saw them up and let it, saw them up and let it dry for a while. And my mom and his kids would split wood, like just tons of wood. We split.
Well,
a
you
lot
had
of wood.
To if you
we
want to be.
Split a lot of wood in my life.
You so, cook with wood.
Yep, we did for a while. And then we got gas or propane.
Okay.
But yeah, we had propane for that.
And I bet you when you saw the propane truck, you said, wow, a visitor.
No, we had to go to Fairbanks and
get it. Oh, you had to go get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have propane trucks there.
Nope, we went and got it.
Gotcha. So y'all don't get
it. We had cylinders. I don't know how big they were.
Oh,
they're
I understand.
Yeah, yeah, cylinders that were probably as tall as I was. So.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what we did.
And you didn't heat with propane, just cooked with it some.
Cooked with that. We heated with coal and wood.
Wow.
Yeah.
And killed and grew everything you ate.
Absolutely, yes.
You didn't eat a lot of candy growing up, did you?
No. But it was a treat when we went to Fairbanks. We got
I bet you did.
Yeah, it was a big treat.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to Fairbanks.
Yep.
That was a big deal.
Yep.
That was a day trip.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah.
Because it's 40 miles there.
And 40 miles back.
40 miles back, 800 miles.
On rough roads,
on rough roads.
Not easy roads.
It was gravel. And when you went over a summit, it was Clary Summit we had to drive over. That was hard. I mean, that was a mountain. This mountain with curves and gravel road, yeah. You had to be careful.
And ruts.
And ruts.
Wash out.
Yep.
Wow, very interesting.
Yeah.
Great background. Okay, 18 years old. What happened to you?
Well, when we came back to visit family, by that time
I
got off the train. And, yeah, and then I kind of traveled for a while myself for a few years, all over, you know, Florida, out west. I went out west for a while. But when I moved to Charlotte, that's when I got a house, and that's when I became interested in feeding the birds. And I mean, I had all that wildlife in Alaska that I took for granted. You take it for granted. It's in your backyard. We had packs of wolves come through. We had all kinds of wildlife. We had birds.
What did you do about school?
My mom taught all four of us homeschool.
So you definitely, I was going to say,
yeah, we
ain't no school bus coming to get you.
Nope, they didn't.
So you homeschooled all the way through high school?
Yep.
Then what?
Then I just took courses. I've taken courses like CPCC.
I understand.
And that's it. That's all I got.
So you went and got what you wanted.
Yeah. Yep. And then I got the, you know, like I said, that's when I started shopping at the bird food store. And that's, you know, nature kind of took over from there.
Well, you were 18, traveling around a little bit. What brought you to Charlotte?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know. I was traveling. I was in Tennessee for a few months, and I thought, well, I'll try Charlotte. And I came down here. And then I got a job with Bell as a cosmetic buyer of all things.
Okay.
And I was in cosmetics industry for probably about 30 years,
gotcha.
Which is a huge change from nature. But this is when I lost my job with Belk, and I was in the store one day when Jason and Carrie were talking about selling it and asked if I'd be interested. I mean, it's like when one door closes, another one opens, and it definitely did. So as old as I am now, and it's been a great change. It's perfect. It's definitely me, more so than cosmetics. But
gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, things happen.
Yeah.
Universe put you where you're supposed to
absolutely
be.
Absolutely, it did.
And you're a happy girl.
Yes, very happy.
So, and what's your biggest seller at Backyard Birds?
Bird seed. We have a blend that we have mixed every week by the Amish. It's our recipe. It's five different seeds, and it feeds everybody here, and we sell tons of it, literally tons of it.
Right. And bird feeders.
And bird feeders and bird houses.
And bird
houses. And bird baths.
And bird sculptures.
And
bird
sculptures,
yes. Steve's work is in Backyard Birds as well. And if, you know, he's just incredible artist. And
one less this week, though.
Yep.
Sold one.
Sold one.
Yep.
So what?
I carved a saw-wet owl.
A saw-wet?
It's a little owl.
Is it like
saw-wet owl?
Is it like cricket?
It's about the same size as cricket, which is the screech owl, eastern screech owl. But it looks different.
Gotcha.
But you pull one up on your Smarty Pants phone and look at it.
Smarty Pants.
Yeah. I don't have a Smarty Pants phone.
You don't?
No, I have to ask Kaylee to find everything for me.
Yeah.
Steve lives out in Indian Trail, and he's lives in a nice, beautiful home, and a little rustic, which is his nature. And there's a zoo in the basement and a zoo out in the backyard. Would you say that? Would you agree, Kaylee?
Yeah.
Okay. And we heard you. No problem. You're doing great.
Okay.
But Steve is a wildlife extraordinaire. He's, been dealing with wildlife for many, many, many years. And he was one of the animal handlers, I guess you'd call it. Isn't that the good terminology?
Yeah, I helped
on Mutual of Omaha's. With Jim Fowler on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. He's wrestled with anacondas and all kind of groovy things like that. Yeah, imagine that, waking up and say, yeah, we're going to go play with the anacondas today. And that really happened.
Yeah, if you tell, you know how you run into people, and if you start talking about animals, say you don't know them, though. Say you were with a group of people or a party, whatever, right. Somebody knew you did that. And if you start saying, yeah, oh, yeah, I was bitten by an anaconda. Oh, yeah, I was bitten by a wolf or a mountain lion. You start talking like that, and they start looking at you like you're crazy because it's not a normal thing, right. But I'm not normal. I have a sign at home that says normal doesn't live here. You can. My wife will tell you that.
Right. Yeah. Come on back and hear more from Steve and Kaylee. We got one more to go here on the intros. Very interesting story, sharing some great life stories here on the show today about your house. Come on back and listen to some more. We'll be here. 704-227-8800 is the number. That's 704-227-8800. We'll be right back. Welcome back to About Your House. Laurie Horn, I've got to go back to your life in the wilderness.
Okay.
And that's truly wilderness. No power, no running water,
no
bare essentials.
No.
No store within 40 miles.
Right.
You cook and grew everything you ate.
Correct.
All right. And you killed. Have you ever shot an animal?
Yes.
Okay, great, wonderful. What?
Now I'm a vegetarian, probably for that same reason.
You're a vegetarian?
Yes.
Really? How long have you been a vegetarian?
About 22 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
So living that way kind of was conditioning for becoming a...
Maybe, part of it, maybe. Not really. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Can I ask you why you turned vegetarian? Just curious.
One, health reasons, and one, it was like, it's just... the way animals, you know, your commercial animals are raised now.
I can understand.
So that's kind of my thought process behind
it. And you've
it.
Seen the other side totally.
Yes.
What's your, I can't ask you because you're
that?
A vegetarian. No.
I can.
When you grew up, someone texted me a minute ago and said elk meat is absolutely fabulous. Did you ever eat elk growing up?
Caribou.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly moose. We had a lot of moose in our area. We ate moose. Caribou used to run about 50 miles on past us, east of us. And I never went caribou hunting, but we did get caribou. And we
got you.
Yeah. So I have had caribou, moose, and deer, but not elk. I have not had elk.
What's your favorite meat back then? Did you have a favorite?
Moose.
Really?
Yeah.
Moose.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing.
And fish. Love salmon.
Oh, yeah, fish. Absolutely. Yeah, fish is a staple in Alaska.
Yeah.
You know, as I understand it, I wouldn't know, but wow, that's cool. All right, let's go to Kaylee. Kaylee, soon to be 15.
Yeah.
So we'll call you 15. Where you go to school?
Well, I'm homeschooled.
Awesome. Well, she's fine. You're homeschooled. What grade you in?
I'm in ninth.
The ninth grade. You're in the ninth grade.
Yeah.
Okay. How did you meet Steve Hughes?
I met him at Dogwood Park, like 3-ish years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You just met him? I mean, what?
Yeah. He did an event.
Okay. So you met him at one of the lectures he does.
Yeah.
Gotcha. About wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a wild... Well, I'll let Steve do this. Is she hooked?
She has learned a lot. You know, people, when they come to those events, and I have to say, the majority of them are girls. There's some boys, but most of the people who are really interested seem to be women now for the last 15 years or more. Uh-huh. It seems like that way. And she was just one of the girls that, you know, and in my events, a lot of people get to hold animals.
Sure.
You go to a lot of things and they don't let you touch them.
Right.
Because of really insurance purposes and all. That's
but you don't play by the rules. I know. I love you.
But I had to pay dearly for insurance. But anyway, they get up there and Kaylee sees all this stuff and she likes it innately. You know, people like animals or they don't, I guess. But she did. And so she would hold the blue-tongued skink and whatever. Just all of a sudden, you know, they like them when they're there the whole time and they won't leave. And they want to hold everything and stand there. Then you go, okay, here's a potential helpie. You know? So I would do twice a year at Dogwood Park, one in the spring and one in the fall.
Gotcha.
And so that's where
I'm at. Where's Dogwood Park?
It's right there off 84 in Weddington.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a park that somebody donated for dog walking and stuff. It's basically that. It's got a pond in it.
Gotcha.
And things
That. Right. Kaylee, so you like animals?
Yeah.
That's your passion?
Yeah.
What's your favorite animal? Or is there such a thing?
Well, I like snakes.
Have you ever caught one?
Yeah.
Several?
Yeah.
What's the most harmful snake you ever caught?
Copperhead.
Really? You caught a copperhead?
You said colorful.
Oh, you said colorful.
No, I didn't.
What'd you say?
I said, I can't remember what I said. Harmful.
Okay. Harmful.
So I heard him right. Yeah.
Harmful. You were right.
I cannot hear, can I, Kaylee?
No.
So Steve's deaf in one ear and can't hear.
Yes.
He can't hear out of the other one. So there you go.
Yes, she did. We went snake hunting at Myrtle Beach. I have a friend that lives there.
Yeah.
And all he has is venomous snakes, cobras and all kinds of. But he goes snake hunting every Sunday. It's his day off. And so I go down there with him. And over the years, he's had car hoods and all these things placed out at these farms.
Yeah, right.
So instead of tromping through the woods for hours and hours just looking for snakes, you go to these different areas.
The habitats he's made. He's,
right. So Kaylee wanted to catch a snake and snakes in the wild and see them. And so that's where we went and tell them what you saw.
So we saw copperheads, black racers, like ringneck snakes. And that was majority of it. We caught like 13.
Yeah.
But caught 13 snakes.
But you'd turn a piece of tin there and you'd see more than one copperhead at one time.
Yeah.
And we're going, well, there's a copperhead down there, and Kaylee's just looking at the ground going, what are you saying?
At first, his friend said there was a copperhead, and I said, I don't see one. But then he said it's right there, and I look, and there it was.
Right, very close to you.
Yes, it was very close to me, too, and I wouldn't have seen it. Yeah.
If there's one, there can be two. If there's two, there can be three. You'll see them together. So that was a good adventure.
Now, did you just hear what Steve said, folks? The reason he's on here today is we're going to talk about wildlife. You know, I know we do it two or three times a year. Well, at least two. Try to. And we're moving into winter. And right now, we're transitional. And what's that mean?
Transitioning from reptiles anyway, they're going to go be hibernating, and you won't see them as much anymore.
Right.
Maybe on a real warm day in the 70s, one will come out near where it might be hibernating just to lay in the sun, but it'll go back in.
Right.
But then we go to the birds and the mammals. That's what we talk about then for the winter.
Right.
So.
And the winter. So we're in transition right now. What's happening with the wildlife? And the reason I bring this up so much in Charlotte, because the wildlife is moving a lot because of all the growth.
Oh, tremendous growth.
And they're running. They're looking for different habitat, different environmental situations because we're changing it. So therefore, What's that mean for us in the city? It means when you see a snake, don't kill it. When you see a possum, don't kill it. When you see a raccoon, why would you kill these animals? we're invading their space, actually. They're not invading ours.
Always remember, though, here I tell this for people all the time, and they don't really know this, that all in Mecklenburg County and even most of Union County, there's only one venomous snake, and that's the copperhead.
Right.
There are no water moccasins. Every time somebody sees a snake in the water, then it's a water moccasin. We don't have them here.
Right.
The closest water moccasin I ever caught is up in Pageland.
My soon-to-be homestead.
Yeah, that's where I found them. They have a lot of venomous snakes down there.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't have them here. So if you know what a copperhead looks like, and I take a jar with one that they can see it on my lectures, then, you know, you don't have to worry about the other ones, sure.
But the copperhead do resembles a little brown water snake, right? Isn't that what it is?
A common water snake does look like a copperhead.
It does, except, in the water especially.
Except water snakes don't have triangular-shaped heads.
Right.
And when you look at one on the top, their eyes kind of bulge out. They kind of stick out.
Yeah.
So,
but most people won't get that close. They won't look at him in the face. What? Get around there and look at him.
Water snakes are very cantankerous creatures.
Oh, yes,
they'll bite you. I'll bite you five times before you know what's happening when you grab them.
Right. And, you know, he had said earlier, and I'm up against the clock here, so I'm going to get up top of the hour break, but you've been bitten, Steve Hughes, you've been bitten by many, many animals.
Many.
We won't talk about that. And, you know, we talk about getting bit by a snake. Oh, my God, you've probably been bit more times by a snake than you could count.
Thousands. I was bitten the other day.
What bit you the other day?
Clawed a yellow rat snake, Everglades rat snake.
Really?
Yeah, I tried to get it to bite Kaylee, but she's sissy. A little baby. She has been bitten, though.
Yes,
she's been bitten about three or four times.
Yeah.
If you're going to handle animals, sooner or later you're going to be bitten
or
clawed, and that's the end of the story. You're going to, and if you
not
don't
not
be,
if it's just when
yeah, if you don't want that to happen, then that ain't the hobby for you,
right?
You know,
and animals will bite you, folks. Raccoons, possums, if you corner them,
screech owls.
Yeah. Oh God, we're going to talk about owls. Owls are very, very interesting animals and very vicious.
Oh, and the wild ones are, yes.
Yes, they are. Yeah. But we're against the clock here, so coming up against the top of the hour break, if you want to give us a call, 704-227-8800, got animal questions, got bird questions, wildlife, whatever.
Bird seed. What to feed them?
What to feed the birds? Do you sell something to feed the squirrels?
Yes.
See, you get squirrel feed. I'm an advocate of feeding your squirrels by themselves. And get them away from bird feeders. And I had not a pet squirrel, but he lived on the property, and we got to where we could talk to each other. That's right. Name was Jingles. Yep, we named him Jingles. And that rascal could eat a peanut butter piece of bread. He loved peanut butter, and they do. So, hey, that's a clue right there. We're going to take a top of the hour break right now. We'll be back on the other side. More about your house. 704-227-8800, Fox Sports Charlotte app. Download it free. Stream us anywhere. FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com. Stream us right there on Little Blue Era. Press it. You'll hear us. Or aboutyourhouseradio.com. It tells you, just click at the top there. It'll send you on your way. Hear us anywhere on the planet. We'll be right back with more About Your House.
Nothing like a little breakfast to get you going in the morning. You know, they say it's the most important meal of the day. Of course, breakfast is always better when you can enjoy it with About Your House.
Well, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife.
About Your House is brought to you by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online, carolinafoundationsolutions.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
driving. Trees went by, me and Del were singing. Little runaway, I was flying. Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Working on a mystery, going wherever it leads. Running down a dream. I felt so good, like anything was possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. Last 3 days, and the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine.
Two, I want to do a big shout out, one, to the North Carolina Masonry Contractors Association. Brian Schaefer, man, what a ball of fire. Unbelievable man's done so much for the masonry industry in North Carolina. Been all over the state putting programs together. Have the North Carolina Masonry Contractors Association has a pre-apprenticeship program which allows 16-year-olds on job sites to be trained and taught how to be a brick mason. So believe me, folks, unbelievable. And I want to congratulate, back on October 29th, Spec Mix 500, there was a contest up in, there was competition in Charlotte. Competition in North Carolina. Every year, the Masonry Contractors Association put on contest for brick masonry, you know. And I want to congratulate to Riston McGee and his tender, which is tender is the guy that keeps that mortar pan full, keep the bricks behind him, keep old Riston fed with all he needs. And Heron McGee, both of them with McGee Brothers in Monroe. They won the 2021 Spec Mix Bricklayer 500 in North Carolina Regional Series, and they will be headed to Vegas in January to compete in the national competition and could win a pickup, a F-150 pickup, and many, many other things. And I just a big shout-out to, and a congratulations to these two gentlemen, as well as the North Carolina Masonry Contract Association, Brian Schaefer and crew. They're just doing incredible things for the youth. And, folks, we've got brick masons that are in their early 20s, drive new trucks, have no college debt, and wake up every morning. They could work 7 days a week if they wanted to. And most of them enjoy doing what they're doing. They're not there for the money. They're there. Well, they are there for the money, but they're also there because they enjoy their career in brick masonry. Block, brick masonry, concrete. That's the North Carolina Masonry Contract Association. Look them up. All kind of job opportunities. McGee Brothers in Monroe are hiring. I mean, tell me a company that's not hiring right now, but they are hiring, and they've got a great, wonderful apprenticeship program. I just said they've got a pre-apprenticeship brick masonry apprenticeship program. So I just want to toss that out there for all you folks. So if you got grandkids, I get questions more and more frequently from listeners on via email, via text, about job opportunities for high school kids and graduates coming up. Well, McGee Brothers, brick masonry. Griffin Brothers, And you can go, I can go on and on and on. If you're interested in a great career with great, great benefits, everything you could want in a career, and good pay, great pay, and just wonderful opportunities, McGee Brothers, give them a call. Just Google them. They're all over the place. So that's in, and the North Carolina Brick, North Carolina Masonry Contractor Association, the NCMCA. All right, moving forward. Kaylee, yeah. What's your last name?
Eford.
Eford. Mm-hmm. You got any brothers, sisters?
I have one sister.
How old? Older or younger?
She's older and she's 16.
Really? Yeah. Does she like animals?
Not really.
So you're not like your sister?
No.
What's she do? What's she like? Does she, you don't know?
Well, I stay away from her, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't really.
So yeah. We've got two siblings that don't get along.
Yeah, we don't get along.
Okay, cool.
Not really.
Well, you're pretty norm, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you'd help her out in a pinch, wouldn't
you? Well, yeah.
After all, it is your sister.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. She's homeschooled as well?
No, she goes to Weddington High School.
Okay, yeah, great. Good high school. Mm-hmm. That's where my son went. Way back.
Nice.
Way back. Boy, that's fun. Matter of fact, he was there the first year it opened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. See, I'm old. Anyway, so where are you going? What you going to do in your life?
Well, I want to do something that has to do with animals.
Yeah, that's great. You're not sure what yet.
Yeah, not really. Maybe some kind of vet with different types of animals.
So you,
other than dogs or like cats.
You don't like dogs?
Oh, I said I do like dogs.
Oh, dogs.
But, like, meaning, like, I want to do something with more different animals. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, if you're a vet, you're going to deal with city folks and, you know, with dogs and cats predominantly.
Well, yeah, but I would want different animals as well.
Right, exactly. You would want them. Don't mean you're going to get them. I mean, really, in the city, you know, you got city folks, they got cats galore and dogs galore.
Yeah.
And Kaylee's you'll find a lizard here and there.
Kaylee's had quite a few animals already.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many she snuck into their house. That's what all these girls do that they've been working with me. The next thing you know, they want a snake or they want this and that. And their parents, a lot of times, are going, no, I don't think we need to do that. Like her dad didn't like snakes.
Yeah.
No. Well, the next thing you know, old Mr. Hughes helps them get a snake, and what happens? They drag it into the house.
Yeah. I've been wanting a snake for so long.
What kind?
Well, I had a ball python and a corn snake.
Right. I hear you. Well, my friend at All Metal Drive Event, Steve, he's got a python. I think it's looks like a banana, actually.
Oh, it's probably an albino.
Might be.
Burmese python.
Yeah.
They're common. Yeah.
Name is Nancy, I think, or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I held it. Nice snake. Oh. Nice snake. Had a lizard.
Tell what snake we just got at the reptile show.
Oh, yeah. We got a Stewart's milk snake.
Which looks kind of like a coral snake. They come from South America, so they're red and black and yellow or white. But remember, on the coral snake, the red and the yellow touch. On the other snakes, if the red and black touch, it's not venomous.
Well, let's talk about coral snakes a minute, okay? You know, you said there's no poisonous snakes in Mecklenburg County except the copperhead.
Yeah.
Well, a coral snake's poisonous.
Yes, but the closest one that I know they ever found in the Carolinas was at down in Wilmington. A friend of mine caught one. They owned the Totemin Zoo long ago, which was an old roadside zoo, and he caught one down there in Wilmington. But they're more found down on the coast in Georgia and a lot of them in Florida.
Right. Gotcha.
But they really don't bite very many people.
Well, you don't hear a lot about it anyway.
That's why. Their mouths are small, and you have to actually touch them really to be bitten, really.
Gotcha.
They're not like rattlesnakes or copperheads.
So we don't have to worry about that anyway. So coral snakes are a non-issue in Mecklenburg County.
Oh, yeah, and really most of North Carolina and most of South Carolina, too.
Right. Rattlesnakes, where's the closest rattlesnake?
Pageland.
Really? That close?
Albemarle, Pageland.
What about the mountains?
Well, in the mountains. But, the way the mountains are designed is so rugged with the hills and this and that, you just don't see them because they're in the mountain laurels.
Sure.
And they're in the, you know,
Mountain laurel will be a rhododendron.
You can't even go walking through there and find them.
Rhododendron, mountain laurel. That's what, yeah, everybody. And just to cover that, when you ride through the mountains and you look at the foliage, like right now, whoa. But you see unbelievable amounts of rhododendrons. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I mean, this week when we were up in the hills, man, the rhododendrons were just plentiful down the riverside. Now, June, and I bring this up for a reason, if you want to see something really beautiful, go to the mountains in mid-June when the rhodies are blooming.
Yeah, I've been to the mountains.
And, man, that is absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Rhododendrons bloom in mid-June, roughly, give or take. You know, it's kind of like the leaves. You never know which week they're going to bloom. But they hang on for a little bit. So rhodies are, I call them rhodies. Rhododendrons, mountain laurels, you know, they're kind of like a mountain azalea, mm-hmm. but just bigger blooms. Beautiful, beautiful place. So anyway, I want to throw that out there. And the snakes in the hills, you don't see it a lot.
The majority of the snakes I see in the mountains are black rat snakes, which are found here. And you'll see them crossing the road a lot.
Right.
But you don't see, I mean, you might see some ribbon snakes or a garter snake. And there are a milk snakes found in the mountain, a red milk snake. You don't ever see them either.
Right.
I think I've only seen one in 40 years.
Right.
So,
Kaylee, so you want to play with animals?
Yeah.
One way or the other and learn about them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably what you're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. Do you think you go to college in that? I mean, possibly. Now, see, I'm not a big college fan. I can't. Formal education sucks in my book. Mm-hmm. That's me talking, though. I mean, you know, I'm just being flat out.
Yeah.
You know, but you're a prime example of purpose. Mm-hmm. You want to deal with animals.
Yeah.
But you don't know what yet.
Yeah, I don't really know. Maybe, like, just have a bunch of animals and show people as well.
I don't know. But see, Kaylee, you don't have to have a job if someone wants to fund you. And if you can do all that, that's more power to you. But, you know, it's nice to have purpose. You know, if you do what you love, you never have to work a day in your life. Right? Yeah. Right? Now you've got to plug into something that can provide you an income.
Yeah.
Which animals in Charlotte, North Carolina, animals are big. We know this, right? Animals are big, big business.
Well, they are.
Big business.
Not as big as a business degree, though. I mean, I found that out. I've always done what I love, which is art and animals.
But you painted houses.
I said that I loved.
I know.
I like painting.
Yeah.
But
you love this more.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
That was just another way to make a living, to do the things that I still like to do, which is fly hawks, falconry. And I'd like to say that last weekend was World Falconry Day, and that was November the 6th. And Kaylee and I did a little exposition up in Statesville, at an old air grass field.
Right.
Allison Woods Park.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bunch of people, and we flew the birds up there. And
how many birds?
World Falconry Day is a world holiday all over the whole world because falconry is the oldest field sport in the history of man, which is well over 4,000 years old.
Wow!
And there's only about 4,000 falconers, usually, in the whole United States at one time. So
right,
we're really a fraction of that sport, but it's the oldest sport.
Gotcha. Well,
there you go.
Wow. Falconry. And what is falconry?
That's the art of training birds of prey to basically come back to you when you call them. Now, we do raise sometimes birds from babies now, young birds, and you have to teach them how to kill like their parents, whatever they're going to hunt. But if you get them.
How do you do that? You hold that thought because I'm up against clock.
Okay.
A break. But that's interesting. Yeah. But you've been doing that for years.
Since I was 14, which has been at least 10 years.
So you got a few birds. You've got a few trained birds or your buddies, and you go out and do this.
I got Harris Hawks.
Harris Hawks.
That I hunt with.
Wow.
And a Jeer Falcon. I don't hunt with you right now anymore.
That's awesome. And we'll talk about hunting with birds, basically.
Yep.
704-227-8800 about your house. Right here on Fox Sports Charlotte, 94.7 FM, inside 485. Outside, if you get it, hey, you're lucky. Good luck. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back with more Steve Hughes, Lori Horn, and Miss Kaylee about where we're going, what we're going to do. Animals, that's wildlife. And they're moving right now, and things you need to know about what they look for in the winter months. They want to eat because the food's not as prevalent. So we'll talk about that and much, much more when we get back. Stay tuned. Come on back. We'll be here. Extraordinaires in the house, wildlife extraordinaire. We're talking about falconry. Now, everybody, you know, in the city says, why are we talking about falconry? Because I want to.
It's a very different sport.
Yep. And you know, falconry is a sport that you could literally live in Alaska, do falconry and go out and hunt small game with your birds. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, sure. There's falcons. Deer falcons are found in Alaska.
Did you ever kill food with birds?
No.
That's too much trouble for them. It's hard enough.
No, 22 rifle works good for that, you know.
Yes, that's right.
But 22s aren't good for a lot, but they're good for small game.
Did you ever see ptarmigan?
Yes.
Yeah, did y'all shoot them?
No.
Oh, okay.
Ptarmigans?
They're a bird kind of like a grouse. But then in the summertime, they're brown. But in Alaska, in the wintertime, they're pure white, black eyes, and two little some feathers on their tail. So they're pretty good size. But when they're walking around in the snow, they got these big feet walking in the snow, you can see them. And a lot of people shoot them because they're not really super afraid of you. I mean, you can get close enough to shoot them.
They're big enough to eat.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. You get you three or four ptarmigan, I mean, you got you a big meal.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people, you know, you go hunting deer a lot, very popular sport in Charlotte, you know, around this area. What other wildlife can you eat?
Well,
you can eat anything.
Rabbits and squirrels.
Yep.
When I was young, I used to go rabbit and squirrel hunting, and I would bring them home, and my grandmother would cook them.
Dress them.
Yeah.
Dress them and cook them.
You know, just people just... In cities, they just don't do that anymore.
I know. That's kind of why I wanted to talk about this, because Laura here raised in Alaska, and you didn't buy meat up there.
Yeah.
You know, you went out and killed it.
But.
And dressed it. That's the hard part.
But they ate beaver, salmon. Salmon is, I guess, probably one of the biggest things, because that's what rivers are just full of fish.
Right.
But
and a lot of rivers in Alaska.
You can eat bear, like she said, caribou, moose, ptarmigan, rabbit, snowshoe rabbits, which are pretty good size, or hare.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they had a lot of stuff to eat.
Gotcha.
You couldn't eat a porcupine. Did you say you ate a porcupine?
Yes.
I never had a porcupine. I never ate one either. But
right.
Was that,
never caught a porcupine?
No, they're not found around here. They're found up north.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You got to be careful catching a porcupine.
Oh, yeah. I could
understand. They lay one on you, brother, and yeah. It's not too good.
What do you mean, like bite you?
Stick their quills in you.
Like a quill
their
you.
Their barbs, yeah. And, you know, you stick them in. They're easy to go in, but they're not easy to come out.
Oh, they're that way.
Yeah.
They're directional. Meaning they'll go in easy, but they don't come out the same way.
When you're in Alaska, things like that, if you got, say, even a porcupine quill in you, if you got an infection, you could die.
Yeah.
If you didn't.
Right.
Up there is something small, you can die.
Right.
If you live out where she lived.
Right. Don't have the clinic down on the corner.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, hell, if I lived up there.
I bet healthcare ain't the number one industry in Alaska. I mean, out of all, because in America, every state of the union, healthcare is the largest industry practically in every state.
Yes, I agree with that.
You know, healthcare.
Yep.
And you ought to think about that a little bit, too, as you hear what I just said. There's something to that. Why is that? Because they want us sick. It's big business. However, in Alaska, not the case. Different frontier, largest state in the
last
union.
Last frontier.
It's the last frontier. More lakes than any other state. More water than any other state.
More mosquitoes.
More stuff. It's just more. Why? And I'm definitely going to Alaska.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, the easiest thing to do is take a trip, and they'll take you to Denali.
Oh, yeah.
Denali Road. And
yeah.
That's where you see all that stuff.
Yeah. I'd like to. Anyway. Now back to falconry.
We did World Falconry Day.
Right.
It's important to falconers. And now, this whole week, NAFTA, which is North American Falconry Association, which my friend was the president, and they're in my club, the North Carolina Falconers Guild. They're out there at the falconry meet in Oklahoma.
Right.
So they have a falconry meet in different places. It could be New Mexico, Oklahoma, Texas, whatever, once a year.
Right.
And falconers come from all over the whole United States and other parts of the world. Like
wow.
The Arab,
since we're talking about that, what do you do at a falconry?
At a falconry gathering like that?
Yes.
All these people come and they fly their hawks and falcons in different places because you're out west.
Right.
You got miles and miles and miles of empty space, and so they'll either fly Harris hawks, goshawks, falcons, which will be flown in different places, because falcons catch mainly birds.
Mm-hmm.
The hawks are going to catch rabbits or jackrabbits out there, or whatever.
Right.
Or pheasants, depending on where you are.
There's a lot of hawks in this area.
Oh yeah.
Lot.
Yeah.
Mega hawks.
We're lucky, you know. You go outside, it's like your bird feeders. They attract hawks. Mm-hmm. And
koi ponds attract them too.
Oh yeah, and they attract great blue herons too.
Oh yeah,
and raccoons too.
Yeah, see, and that's another reason we talk on the show about wildlife, because if you are considering a koi pond, which your koi ponds are absolutely stunningly beautiful, done correctly. I've done a few myself through the years, but predators, hawks, blue herons love koi. What a delicacy!
Mm-hmm.
And you will be missing fish.
Yep.
For sure, if you don't take precautions in building your koi pond. Because you can build a koi pond where it's somewhat, I mean, if you build it deep enough and put a shelf in there, the koi will swim under that shelf. Now, that's not to say a hawk won't get them, because they're not constantly looking at the
that's
sky.
Right. That's right.
You know, and they can still be had, believe me. Story I refer to. I was a member of the Koi Association or Koi Club many years ago, and a great bunch of people, very enthusiastic about their koi ponds, obviously. Well, the husband and wife were out drinking their coffee one morning by the pond, you know, and here comes this big old hawk. They had this large banana koi, and banana koi are very nice, you know, you get a good one. They're worth some money, you know, and This hawk comes down, grabs a koi, takes off right there in front of him. Oh, my. Wouldn't it be something to be drinking your morning coffee and that happen? You know, and takes your favorite fish right out your pond. Say, my goodness. But anyway, these are things that are just environmental situation. Everybody's got to eat, right?
That's right.
What a hawk's like?
Well, a red
small
shoulder,
prey.
A red-shouldered hawk will eat fish. They eat bugs, fish, worms, snakes, lizards, and mice. But
right.
George is on the phone.
George, we got a caller.
Okay.
Let's talk to him.
George.
Mm-hmm. Now you're gonna find out about what the headphones are about, Kaylee. So, George. Good morning, George. How are you?
Ray, what's going on?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Oh, my gosh. This is a top 10 day.
It is, definitely. No question about it. This is autumn at its finest. Go outside and, man, take you a deep old breath and look at the trees. Pretty day.
I love it.
What's up?
You asked me if I would call in today, and we could talk a few minutes about the NARI event last night.
Oh, absolutely. The Cody Awards. Absolutely.
Yes.
I would love to. How'd it go? You invited me. I could not go. I want to thank you for the invite, though.
Amen. It would have been good to have you, but you were missed.
NARI, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, mm-hmm. Cody Awards. Cody, what's that stand for? COTY, Contractor of the Year Awards. Tell me about it, George. What went down?
I tell you what, one of the big winners, forgive me, I'm driving. I don't have a written list in front of me.
That's okay.
But we had one of the big winners was Revision Remodeling.
Right.
They took away a number of awards. Another big winner was DeFabian.
Yeah, Mike DeFabian and crew. Yeah.
Yeah. They did real well. God, there was another one that took away a lot of awards. I got to remember their name.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. It was a great.
But I tell you what, the event was fantastic. There was a good crowd. The food was great. I mean, the folks up there at Cedar Hill, I think it's called,
right?
Up on Hill Street, man, they did really good.
Awesome.
They did really good.
Awesome. Well, so it was a great event, great turnout, and let me talk a little bit about what that is. NARI, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry of Greater Charlotte, every year puts on a competition, you know, with professional remodeling contractors, with professional photography, all that stuff, and they enter a national competition and get judged and all on their work and their quality of projects in many different categories. And do you know some of the categories, George?
Oh, yeah. They had, like, for instance, kitchen remodeling.
Yep.
From $25,000 to $50,000, and then from $50,000 to $75,000, and then from $75,000 to $100,000, all for kitchens. So they had a number of different categories just for kitchens. They had whole house remodels, like from $50,000 to $100,000, from $100,000 to $250,000, from $250,000 on up, and then from over $1 million, there was a winner for a whole house remodel over $1 million, and that was Allaire Homes.
Oh, Allaire did it, yeah.
Yeah, they took that one away. So there's many different categories. Honestly, we need more contractors to submit their
works.
Their project.
Yes.
Because some of the categories only had one entry. You know?
Got it.
You win.
Well,
it's interesting because you submit your project, and then they send those projects to another NARI chapter to get voted on.
Right.
So it's not voted within our own group.
Gotcha.
Okay. It's voted by, I think there was the group that voted on our stuff was out of Wisconsin.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Well, none of your works made it this year, right, George?
No, I did win an award. I got an award. This was good. What was it? rookie of the year. And I don't understand that because, first of all, I didn't even know we had a baseball team, and I never even showed up for one practice, and I got rookie of the year.
Honestly,
that was for volunteering with Nary and trying to step up and serve the community. And so they gave me a nice friendly award for that. I hope to do more next year.
Awesome, and you will. Folks, it's George Hobel with Hobel Designs. He's the sit-in guest host on the show here as well as a frequent guest. And I appreciate you calling in this morning, George. Thanks for sharing.
Amen.
All right, and go make a great weekend.
Ray, have a good day.
Thank you, George. Take care, man. Bye. All right, be safe. All right, and that's George Hobel. Once again, Hobel Designs, talking about the Cody Awards last night here in Charlotte. National Association of the Remodeling Industry of Greater Charlotte, which About Your House is a member and does participate and will do more of it, as you will know, in this up-and-coming year, because we will be doing more highlighting of NARE members. It is a professional organization of fantastic remodeling contractors, designers, painters, electricians, the whole nine yards, and been around Charlotte since 1990. Chartered it in October of 1990. So anyway, moving forward, getting back on track here with the animals. I'm going to switch over to Laurie and you, Steve. Birds. What's our, I mean, Laurie, people come in the store, you know, they ask you, some of them do, I'm sure, mm-hmm. on what, and you got one bird feed that you've got that feeds all the birds.
Right.
What's the most popular bird around this area? What, I mean, you know, we got cardinals, we got robins, mm-hmm. we got, you know.
Chickadees, juncos, house sparrows.
Wrens. We have a lot of birds. Tons of popular birds.
Mm-hmm. Goldfinches.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So the goldfinches, they start eating late in the fall a lot. I mean, start hitting your feeders really hard. Woodpeckers. Yeah. So people, I guess the most popular bird is probably the cardinal. I would say that they want to feed. Everybody wants to feed the cardinal. They love the cardinals. So that's probably the most popular.
And that's a bird that stays year-round. They don't migrate away.
Right.
You know, so.
And they marry for life, too.
Yeah, for the most part.
I saw a wedding ceremony the other day.
But, yeah, the chickadees, the cardinals, wrens, titmouse, they'll all stay all winter.
And so, several of the downy woodpecker and red belly is really popular at the feeders.
And hairy woodpeckers.
Hairy woodpeckers, mm-hmm.
If you feed the birds, this is what you need to know. If you feed birds, you will have birds. I mean, in other words, they will gather around frequently.
Yes.
And you let your bird feeder run out of feed for more than a week, you lose your birds. But if you feed them again, chances are they'll come back.
Yes.
But you may not. I know I ran out of feed, and I filled up my feed. You know, I ran out. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't get the kind I had, apparently, because the birds weren't there. They didn't come back. So, you know, I said, what happened? But finally, I got this look. There's a bird that's kind of red. It's not a cardinal, but it's kind of red. You know, got a little red wing, red on its wing and what have you. What kind of bird is that? Do you know?
House finch, maybe? Probably a house finch.
Golly, I have multitudes of
them. That's a house finch or a purple finch.
Probably house finch.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And they have that redness to them. The males have more than the females. The males do.
Males are always the colorful species, aren't
correct.
They?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Females are kind of blah. They stay camouflaged nesting, so that's the reason they're not colorful and bright.
Right. Gotcha. Well, one of the things, I just love wildlife, birds, animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they come into the store, do you get other questions about other wildlife?
I'm curious. Just seriously. People want to feed a certain bird. So, you know, they sometimes cater, like bluebirds and goldfinches can't really crack a shell. So I feed them, I suggest sunflower hearts. And then what else is it they ask for? Well, squirrels, of course, peanuts. They love peanuts. Trying to think what else.
Peanuts in the shell?
Yeah. Yep.
Just raw peanuts?
Raw peanuts.
They love raw peanuts.
They do.
Okay. And sunflower seeds.
Oh, yeah, they love that, too. And then a lot of people want to feed the deer, so we have shelled corn for the deer. They
right.
love that. And we have a blend that has molasses in it, and they deer love that, too. So we have a lot of people who want to feed a lot of different things. And as I always say, more food, more feeders, more birds. It just happens.
Right.
Yeah, it just works that way.
Gotcha. I tell you, the birds are absolutely beautiful, especially in the winter. And you can see them, you know, so much better in the winter.
Yeah, without the leaves on the trees, yes.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
We got a caller.
We do. But before we go to the caller, can you mention her company one more time?
Oh, sure.
For some listeners that were wondering because they want to go get some of the birds.
This is Lori Horn, owner of Backyard Birds. Where are you at?
1819 Matthews Township Parkway, right next door to the Dairy Queen. Right across in the same parking lot as Harris Teeter, Matthews
right.
Festival.
Across the street from Target at the intersection of Independence Boulevard and Highway 51. That's where it's at. There used to be a Texas Roadhouse restaurant right there.
It's right around it's still there. It just moved down.
Good, because I keep missing it. One of my favorite places to eat steak. But at any rate, that's where Lori's story is. How long has that store been there now?
Over 25 years.
Over 25 mm-hmm. years. So it's kind of like a landmark, you know? Backyard Birds. And if you want bird feed, bird food, critter food, squirrel food, deer food, Backyard Birds, and many, many other things, bird feeders, bird houses, Backyard Birds. Get it? They cater. Now let's go to the phones, talk to Ned.
Yep, it's Ned.
Oh, Ned from, I can't say Cherville, because he don't live in Cherville. Hey, Ned, good morning, sir.
That's right. That's Gaston County, which should be called West Mecklenburg. I'm in Lincoln County. And
I got
West
you.
Lincoln County, not East Lincoln County, which should be called North Charlotte.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, 73 and 16 is as Charlotte as it gets.
Good morning, Ned. How you doing?
Oh, man, I was volunteering all day Thursday over there at the fabulous Southern Christmas Show.
Let's oh, okay.
go. Selling bags, you know, trying to raise money for the Shriners Hospitals.
Gotcha.
Like
You're
that.
Always doing hey. Something. You're a good man.
Yeah. Man, I tell you what, 9 hours of standing up will make a fat boy hurt. Anyway, the reason I called
we'll
is,
lose weight, fat boy.
Atta boy, Ray. Good job. You hate when people just fiddle faddle around.
No,
people
sir.
Go, oh,
not
that hurt
me.
My feelings. It don't hurt my feelings. I'd rather somebody.
Your feelings are men. Get over it.
That's right. I told people in the heart, hurt my feelings. Tell me the truth. Don't be nice to me. Tell me the truth.
Oh, I was nice.
So I appreciate it. That's exactly right. Well, the reason I called was when you started speaking to the ladies, they were naming all these different birds people buy bird feed for. I thought I heard the word house wren, which to me is a four-letter word. To me, house wrens are things that eat your screens on your windows. They build nests in wheel wells of your pickup trucks that only run on Saturday and Sunday. And, I wish I could get rid of them. I mean, I don't even put bird in the bird feeders anymore. When we have a yard sale, I'm getting rid of all that stuff. But I wish there was something to get rid of snakes, use cedar mulch. I wish there was something that would aggravate house wrens besides the
right.
hawk.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hold that thought, because guess what?
Okay.
I'm up against
it's
the break.
Commercial time?
It's commercial time. So I'm going to put you on hold, as usual.
Thank you.
And we're going to come back and talk about your house wren issue. Okay? So Ned Yates on the phone, folks. More about your house coming your way, 704-227-8800. That's our phone number. Talking birds, wildlife, and critters. And the big city people, tune in. You might learn something. We'll be right back with more about your house.
I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh. I'm sitting on a dock of a bay,
wasting time.
Welcome back. Got Ned Yates on the phone talking house wrens, a pain in the butt bird by many, I guess. You like Steve likes house wrens.
I love house wrens. They're cute little rascals.
So they're little birds?
Yeah. And they eat bugs, thousands of little bugs.
Ned, how do you get rid of them? Is that what you want to know?
Well, he's a falconer guy. He probably wouldn't hear my story about the hawk. But
yeah, I do.
Okay, I'm coming down the road, Ray. You know I'm in a rural area. I'm turning right into the driveway reasonably, and there's a hawk on the light pole across the street. Mm-hmm. And my daughter's real young in these days, okay? And the truck's been sitting all Saturday and Sunday. And I know the birds get under the truck. And I said, oh, look, there's a pretty hawk up there. He must have his eye on that cow pasture next door getting ready to get in my mouth. Well, We looked at the hawk, and we thought that's neat. And I said, okay, now y'all watch this. When we go up the driveway, as soon as we hit the garage clicker, a bunch of birds are going to fly out from under the right front tire of the truck. Just watch. Watch what happens. So we stop the car to hit the clicker, and there go all the birds. And dang, and my daughter was really young then. It spooked her. That hawk came zipping up the driveway. Boom, grabbed him those little rents and took off out over that cow pasture. And I thought she was going to start crying. I said, no, that's life.
Yeah,
that's a life lesson.
Grabbed a wren.
So, yeah, got one of them.
Really?
Didn't get them all. There was like four or five came flying out from under the truck. But, yeah, he got that little wren. Sure did.
That was probably.
The hawks are fabulous.
That was probably a sharp shin hawk or a Cooper's hawk. They're bird eaters.
Uh-huh.
Most of the other type of hawks are too slow to catch one of those. So that's,
they are so pretty, Steve. They sit up on top of these light poles, these power poles out here on these farm field side roads,
mm-hmm.
and they're so patient. They just sit there looking at the ground, and, you know, they've got all the different – the feather – they're just beautiful to look at from behind. They just look great.
Mm-hmm.
And but to actually see one work – I'd never seen that. Being an old goob, I thought that was pretty fascinating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what can you tell me about house wrens? I've even got where I don't put bird feed out anymore. I got so frustrated with them this summer.
You're probably talking about Carolina wrens. They're notorious for building a nest. They build it really quick, and they will. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if the car's parked for a couple hours, sometimes they'll have a nest in it.
Really?
No
kidding.
Yeah,
they're really fast.
All in the bushes, too, right? When you go to trim the hedges, they've built nests all in your bushes.
Yeah, they like
in your shrubbery.
Sometimes, I mean, I hang up a ton of, I probably have a half a dozen at least little wren boxes hanging around. They like being up close to people. Seems like the ones closest to my deck is where.
Could you put wren houses, bird houses, and maybe?
You can put them up. I mean, that they use them.
Oh, like out where you do the bluebird houses out near the guy's pasture? Because we keep the bluebird houses kind of away from, you know, the house out near the tree.
Wrens seem to like.
Because it said they like places to go to.
They like more secluded places. Mm-hmm. They don't like to be out in the open. The wrens. So that's why that's why they're coming in the garage, the cars.
Yes, they will. They will come in. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I have them in my garage every year, but what I do is if, you know, I close the garage door at night, I have two windows in my garage, so I open a window so they can leave in the morning to go hunt food or get out or feed their babies.
Okay.
You know, otherwise, they're waiting for you to open the garage door. Yeah. They're flying around when you open it up, and there they go.
You feel bad when they get trapped in there, don't you? Because they're like, and I'm like, look, the whole door's open. Just go down low and leave.
Yeah.
Wrens usually don't get trapped. They're one of the only birds that don't really get trapped in a garage. They can get in and out of a window or, a door's raised a little bit. They can find their way out. The other birds, they do get trapped. They cannot figure out how to get below that garage door.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, I got to let y'all get back to talking about snakes and such. But
no
whenever
birds.
He told the falconry story, and I remembered my – and then when I heard Wren, I said, I got to call in today. They're talking about – you know my mind, Ray. I'm like driving around in circles. So I brought all those three stories y'all told into one Ned story. And I said, oh, Ray will probably want me to tell him how pretty the trees are out here on the side of the mountain and all that stuff. It's a beautiful morning, Ray. I'm telling you. It's just, you know, this is the day that you're glad you moved. Because, I mean, Ray, I don't know how many colors I got. I'm looking at right now. Here.
Oh, wow. Isn't it beautiful?
Green, yellow, orange, brown. Yes, it is.
Beautiful day. Beautiful day.
And you can't buy stuff like that. And you're all the time saying, spread the love, spread the love. Do something for somebody.
There you go.
So I was just trying to go by your little slogans this week. So
appreciate
I hope you
have
a good weekend.
Well, we love
I appreciate
you
your
too.
Guest coming in and sharing. Well, I appreciate your guest coming in. I know when I call, I talk too much. But I appreciate your guest coming in and sharing some very interesting stories.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, sir. You go make it a good weekend and keep safe. Okay, man?
Yes, sir. Thanks again.
Spread that love. Bye-bye. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. And Ned's out. And, you know, I live in a warehouse. Well, I'm not supposed to say that. I live in an apartment inside a warehouse. That's better. Okay. But it's in a warehouse. Who cares?
Why does that matter?
Yeah, because if she's listening, she'll say, why do you tell people you live in a warehouse? Okay. Because that's where I live. Okay. I got a big 10-foot, maybe 12, I don't know, bay door, and it goes real high. And, I like to open it because that's the only window I have. Big one, too. But anyway, I raise it, and birds will fly in sometimes. Those rascals are stupid. I mean, they do not know how to fly out of the garage. I had a bird in there all day one day, and I wanted him out. You know, I don't want a bird in there because they make a mess on things, and they do, and I don't like it. But, and I love the birds. I do. But I left the light on. That was my mistake. So I cut the light out, raised the door, and removed all things from near the door. Flew right out. But if there were things, and I say this because if you have a bird, make sure that the opening is open, you know, and there's no anything in there, like a lawnmower. Like, I mean, I had table and chairs out near the door, but I moved them. As soon as I moved them and cut the lights out, within 30 minutes, that bird flew out of there. So you can trap birds in a garage, and you have this problem, and they just fly around into walls or whatever. That's, you don't feel good about that.
Nope.
So you got to get them out. And I'm just throwing that one out there because how else do you get the birds out? I don't know.
Well, sometimes we have people call us. They'll have hawks caught in their in warehouses.
Uh-huh.
They're usually Cooper's hawks. Or sharp-shinned hawks chasing birds, you know, in those big doors, and they'll fly in there and catch the bird and eat it. But the same thing, then they're just there and they don't leave, you know, and the people are, they haven't left. So we take over there and we take a trap over there. And Cooper's hawks are such pigs, most of the time they'll fly down to a trap if it's got a mouse or a bird in it.
So they can call you?
Mm-hmm.
So you can remove a hawk from a warehouse?
Yeah.
How do they get in touch with you?
Well, I could call my home. Most of these just people around the areas that know. I wouldn't want to go do that all the time because nobody pays you to do that. They just want you to come from here to Clover and get a daggum bird out of
there. No. There's a charge involved here.
Well, there would be today.
Look.
But, you know, we do that, though, because we want the birds out. We don't want them to get hurt, and they tend to fly around Cooper's hawks and fly into something and hurt their wings and stuff like that. So,
well, that's why I'm saying you wouldn't mind if people had a situation with a hawk, you know, but you're going to charge something.
Well, if I had to do it today, yes, because
it ain't free.
Because I'm retired, kind of, sort of, supposedly, but it doesn't work out that way. But
retired, what the hell's that mean?
Well, that just means I do just a little less than I did before. Not that I've stopped doing other things. I'm still busy, like, all the time. But you know, like my job took a lot of time.
Sure. But people ask me all the time, Ray, what do you do? Well, you know, like I say again, you know, whatever I want to. You know, really, that's my go-to answer is just pretty much whatever I want to do. But what's that? I help people. They still don't know what I do because I'm not real sure what I do either. I do whatever we want, right? Isn't that what you do?
I called you the other night for a problem, didn't yeah. I?
There you go.
There you go.
I help people.
I said, wait a minute. Who's going to know this?
Did you fix it?
No, not yet.
Here's his question. It's a good one for the show, right?
Yes, good question.
Steve calls me the other day, and he says, Ray, I got the bathroom, you know, downstairs off, you know, in the garage area.
Upstairs.
Okay, upstairs, wherever. It's just a bathroom. Laundry room sink.
Laundry room.
I go in the laundry room, it's got a sink in there, Ray, and it smells like sewer gas. It stinks, right? And the only way that's going to be prevalent, you know, to any great degree would be if there's no water in the trap. Be it if there was a shower stall or a tub in there. Well, if you don't use it, all the water in the trap evaporates. There's a trap in your tub drain. There's a trap in your shower drain. There's a trap below the sink. Your commode is a trap. Now, I keep saying trap. It's a water trap. There's water preventing the sewer gas to come in the house. That's what traps are for Pete's sake. Now, if you don't use it, that water's going to evaporate in time. And or some houses, I got to take a break. Some houses are not vented well, and you use the commode or something, it will literally suck the water out of a trap because it needs a vent. So there you go. And
but I changed, the sink was lowered.
Right.
And when we put a new thing back in, it was just an L shape and it didn't have the trap. And as soon as you said that, I knew what the problem was there.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go. And I bring that up because a lot of people have multitude of bathrooms in their house and they go in the bathroom and say, yuck, it stinks in here.
Yep.
It's because all the water's gone out of your trap. You know, turn your sink on, fill the trap up. Run the shower, fill the trap up.
Yeah.
Odor gone. And for more information, call About Your House, 704-227-8800. We got to take a break. We'll be back on the other side with hour number three and more bird stuff and critter stuff, animals, wildlife. It's transitional time of the year where they're moving, looking for shelter. We're going to talk about that too. Yep, your house is good. They like it. If you got a hole in it, they'll find it. We'll be right back.
Well, might as well get this day underway. Let's face it, this honey-do list ain't gonna do itself. Of course, I could use a little help. Ah, there we go. All the help I need. It's About Your House.
Oh, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online, carolinafoundationsolutions.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it back? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed or take a bullet for being free? Screaming, what the hell at my TV for telling me? Yeah, are you telling me that I'm the only one willing to fight?
Welcome back, hour number three. Now, we're going to talk a little holiday here. Thanksgiving coming up. What do you prefer, turkey or ham?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
You're a vegetarian, so I won't ask you. Neither. How about you?
Ham.
You're a ham person? Okay.
You can ask her yam or cranberry.
And I do eat that, yes.
Yam or cranberry?
Both.
Oh. Well, what's a yam?
Sweet
potatoes.
Thank you.
Yes. Sweet potatoes. Yeah, I love sweet potatoes. That's superfood. You know, you can live off sweet potatoes. You know, that and beans. You can literally live off sweet potato. So that's a survival food and a superfood at that. Okay, let's talk about Thanksgiving a minute. Turkeys. You know, you can cook turkeys now so many ways, but you can't get one in an air fryer. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? But they are now coming out, as we understand, with conventional ovens that are now got an air fryer option on them. So you might look at that in the future. However, we ain't there yet. So how are you going to cook your turkey? You going to smoke it? Rolling papers get real greasy if you do. I just thought I'd throw a little humor in there. And then you can deep fry it. You can smoke it. You can roast it or bake it, you know. And what else? I think that's it, isn't it?
I think you got it.
I think we got it. So now, through the year, many, many years ago, we did a remodeling job over in Miles Park, 28207 district. And we were there at Thanksgiving remodeling their kitchen. And the owner said, Ray, you want a little bit of turkey? I said, yeah, sure, why not? And he gave us some turkey. You know, it was, I don't know, somewhere around after probably Thanksgiving. Some were left, but best turkey I ever put in my mouth. I said, what in the world? How'd you cook this? He said, I smoked it. I said, really, what'd you do? He said, well, let me tell you, I put it in brine. Oh, brine. And you put it in brine and leave it at least 24 hours. You can leave it 2 days if you want to, but at least 24 hours to be effective. And you put it in brine. You say, how you do that? Well, you get a 5-gallon bucket, and you get a trash bag that has no, because a lady called one year on the air and says, oh, you don't want to get a bag with insecticides and stuff on it. I said, good thinking. I mean, it's like a no-brainer. Of course you would get something that was clean and no pesticides on it. So let's just get that out of the way. Get a garbage bag that has nothing on it, just a plastic bag, a good one, okay? Line the 5-gallon bucket with it, okay? And if it's not big enough to line the 5-gallon bucket, get a bigger damn bag, okay? Let's use our heads here and think, okay? So get a bigger bag, okay? You know, rinse your turkey off, clean it, you know, get off. And by the way, take all the innards out, the giblets and the pieces, okay? They're in one end. Flip that little tail skin up, pull it out. Yep. Don't leave that in there. Pull it out, okay? What you do with it, that's your business. You can make giblets. You can do whatever.
Cook them, give them to your pets.
Yeah, cook them and give them to wildlife. There you go. Good thing. And now, brine. How do you make a brine? Well, a gallon to 2 gallons of water, a half a cup of kosher salt. Now, you're going to warm the water so the kosher salt will dissolve, okay? I didn't say boil it. I said warm it. And you want to dissolve that kosher salt. Stir it up. You want to use 40 ounces of soy sauce. That's two big little jars, little bottles of it. Don't buy that cheap crap. Get good soy sauce. Get good soy. Read the ingredients on it, too. Don't get nothing with any high fructose or fructose corn syrup or any of that mess, okay? 40 ounces of soy. 4 ounces of black pepper, normally a little tin. Just put the whole thing in there. Garlic. I put garlic in everything. Some people say, oh, garlic's horrible. No, garlic is a superfood, whether you know it or not. Man, you don't want a cold. You want to stay well. Cook with garlic. I ain't talking garlic powder. You can use garlic powder, but put a whole head. You can throw it in the blender and chop it all up. I don't like that. I use a chef's knife and chop it. I put a whole head of chopped up garlic in there as well. Okay, stir all that up, mix it, make sure it's all blended well. And then you take that mixture and you put the turkey, you know, hollow side up, if you get my drift. Hollow side up, because see, the turkey's got a cavity in it. You want to face that up. And you want to fill that turkey and cover it completely. Pull the bag up around it because it pulls the liquid up as well. Tie it off. Put that in your refrigerator. Yeah, you go ahead and make room for it. I did say 5-gallon bucket. You know, and you can do a 14 to 23 pound turkey. No sweat. Okay, you might have to add a little bit more water to it. Like I said, a gallon to 2 gallons. But you want to cover that turkey, right? And then you want to put that in your refrigerator for at least 24 hours or more. And then you take it out when your smoker's all ready. You can use apple wood, hickory, pecan, whatever wood you want to, and smoke that turkey on your smoker. And if you don't know how to smoke, do a little research. Call YouTube. Man, there are all kinds of videos on YouTube about it. But you can smoke that turkey overnight. Normally, I light my fire, get my smoker delved up about 11 o'clock at night. Normally, put that turkey on, then I go to bed. When I get up in the morning, my goodness, that sucker's ready and ready to go. Some people might have to stoke it up a little bit and heat it up again. But typically, a good smoker, it's done. So that's a smoked turkey. Not everybody's taste, but, man, if you like smoked turkey, that's going to be a good turkey. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you. Make some good turkey sandwiches for the next week. Great stuff. Yes, sir.
And also, just on with turkeys, if you're going to fry a turkey, please don't do the frozen thing. Make sure it's thawed out.
Oh, God.
I mean, I've seen it way too many times. I've seen too many fires with it.
Yeah.
Because you just think, oh, I can go get a frozen turkey and I can fry it. No, you have to thaw it out. Come on, people.
You don't cook frozen turkeys, folks. No. It don't work. Don't try it. And get your dadgum deep fryer off the deck.
Yes.
Get it off the deck. Else. Off in the yard or on the concrete pad.
Yes.
Don't put your deep fryer on your deck, dumbass. Okay, I had to say that.
No, you're right.
That's not a beeped word.
No, you're good.
I'm good on that. Come on, let's be sensible. All right, safety first. And by the way, you folks with grills and vinyl siding, don't put your vinyl grill close to the vinyl siding.
Or your smoker.
You know, don't do it. And don't put your smoker on the deck. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have to say that. You know, those coals come out the bottom of that rascal. Light your deck on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, surprise. So don't do that, okay? Safety first, folks. Come on, let's think. All you dumb men. Okay. I'm picking on you because typically y'all the ones that do this stuff. I don't know. Hey, what's this? Famous last words in the ER. Okay.
Famous last words, yeah. So, Ray, I was saying during the break about...
Oh, yeah, deer.
Deer, because I have a friend that does deer feed, and they actually was feeding the deer in the neighborhood. Now, the problem was they kept feeding them, and they kept wanting to come back, so...
Well, you feed some, it's going to come back.
I get that.
You feed me, I'll be there tomorrow.
They were telling me that whoever they got the deer feed from was to do it, like... 1 month, then 2 months later, like do it in a certain cycle so you mess up their pattern. But that doesn't make any sense, right?
That's total stupidity.
Well, that's what I don't understand. I mean,
way of thinking.
Well, yeah, but what do you do? I mean, because if you're going to feed deer, is there a way to do it where you know how it works, Steve, where you feed one person. Oh, look, two showed up. Oh, look, three showed up. Oh, look, 20 showed up. So what would you do in that situation?
Well, deer normally travel in herds,
mm-hmm.
and it's not uncommon to see eight at one time easily. So you know, where there's one, there's another.
Yeah.
So they're going to show up and eat. And, you know, you either want to see deer and feed them or you don't.
Okay.
And you don't really have to feed them to see deer around neighborhoods anymore. But, you know, if you're going to feed them, they're going to come. And don't worry about how many's coming to dinner. You know, they're going to eat that up quick, fast, in a hurry anyway.
Yeah.
So
now, are there certain, like, trees and stuff that they are that they like more than others? Like, had, like, a pear tree and stuff, and they love –
yeah,
they would literally eat the pears before I could pick them because, you know, they just show up in the night and eat them.
Well, the raccoons and the possums and skunks eat that too.
Yeah.
Pears and apples and grapes and everything like that.
It's food.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. But deer, I mean, they eat stuff in the wild too, like greenbrier in the wintertime and mm-hmm. a lot of other types of greenery.
Love apples.
Oh yeah. But
they like, you know, honeysuckles too, because we have a bunch of those around too, and they like those.
But now you just see, you see them in people's yards and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The only time you don't see them as much is when deer season comes in, they kind of hide.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, sure. Boom, boom.
So is there a migration period, is basically what I'm asking for deer. Is there a migration period with deer, or is it just kind of all year long?
Not around here.
Okay. You know,
just when bucks get older. The older buck will run the other buck away, but
okay.
You know, no, they don't really. They're not like caribou. So,
well, deer and wildlife are prevalent big time around Mecklenburg County, and that's why I want to talk about it, especially in the transitional months. We're moving into the cold weather, and you know, every animals look for shelter.
Yep.
Raccoons will crawl up your downspouts looking for attic space. Animals, I mean, they're looking for shelter. So you need to be aware if you've got crawl space, doors, you need to shut them. And if you've got now, and wild animals are great for bringing you fleas. And fleas are no fun. Possums are big on that, you know, and a lot of wildlife. So crawl space vents, the little 8x16 crawl space vents on your house, if they're knocked out, which some houses do, there's a perfect entry for wildlife. And they will visit your crawl space.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're looking for it. So, and snakes, do they migrate as well?
They'll hibernate in under your house and the insulation even. Yeah, so that's not uncommon either.
Black
rat snakes usually, yeah. But, you know, a raccoon or a possum, if they can get their head in a hole, and you know how big a raccoon is, then he can get his body in it. People kind of underestimate the size of a hole an animal can get into. Yeah.
And when it gets cold, they like heat too, you know, and everybody wants to shoot them. No. No. Andrew Cole, you know old buddy Andrew, Song Dog Wildlife, that's what he does. And you can Google Song Dog Wildlife, and Andrew's a great guy, knows his craft, will not kill the animals unless that's the only way. But he will trap them, haul them away, and get rid of them for you. Yeah, and it costs, too. He doesn't do this for a hobby. It's his profession. He's kind of like Kaylee here. He's in it to win it, you know? But he has, and he's got a degree in wildlife and all this other stuff. Have you considered that, Kaylee? Going to school for wildlife management or?
That's like what Jamie does. He works for critter control.
Yeah.
He's talking
right.
About
gotcha. You know Jamie? You know Jamie?
Jamie Sargent, he lives in South Carolina.
Gotcha. All right, we got to take a break here. And we're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk about, well, what are we talking about? Wildlife, critters. Yeah, they live here too. And we've invaded their space, and they just kind of crawling around looking for a place. Your house might be next. We'll be right back.
Because I'm so alone. Baby, I need your love.
Wildlife Day because we're moving into the winter months and colder, and animals and wildlife of all are on the move, but we're talking about birds as well. I want to talk about the owl. Owls are very, very prevalent in this area. The barred owl, also known as the northern barred owl, striped owl, or more informally, hoot owl, is a North American large species of an owl, and they're very, very popular. Matter of fact, years ago I did some research. The barred owl, Mecklenburg County in this area of the southeast, there's more barred owls here than any other area of the east, in the east, I do believe. And I called Steve years ago when I lived out in Weddington, and I lived in Weddington, and I was awakened one night with this noise. It sounded like a monkey. I mean, it sounded like a crazy going out of his mind monkey making all these zoo noise, whooping and carrying on. I didn't know what it was. I had no clue. Well, I called my buddy Steve, and he says, oh, that was an owl, barred owl probably. And I think you were right, because there were three. And around the lake, I lived on a little 7-acre lake out there, and there was three. One would talk or make a bunch of noise, and the other one across the lake would make a bunch of noise. And then you'd hear another one off kind of in the distance. And they talked to each other in there. But owls are very vicious creatures, aren't they?
Yeah, in the wild, they're very vicious. You know, even screech owls, you know, they're very tenacious and vicious, and they catch birds, mice, bugs, but, I mean...
Dogs. Little dogs.
Well, the only owl that would maybe attack a little small dog would be a great horned owl. Barred owls and all the rest of them, they're really not big enough. Now,
what about ducks?
Ducks? Possibly. A great horned owl would certainly kill ducks.
I woke up one night and I heard a duck on the lake going ballistic. I mean, just making all kinds of havoc. And I know what was happening. An owl got him. And, you know, owls are nocturnal, meaning they do all their moving around in the evening. You might see one during the day, but they're not really active a lot in the day, are they?
No, they can see perfectly well. Sometimes people think that they can't see that well at the day, but they can. And if you notice, owls have different colored eyes. Some have dark brown eyes, and some have yellow eyes or yellowish green. And the dark brown ones are the ones who come out the latest. Great horned owls and screech owls, you can see them toward the evening, but in daylight, and they might be hunting. So they do hunt in daytime too, but you know, not usually in the middle of the day. They're hiding from other birds so they wouldn't be scolded by all the songbirds.
You know, some people use owls as decoys, decoy owls, to scare something. What are they scaring?
Nothing.
Nothing. you know what that does? It attracts birds, because an owl's a predator, and if you put one out there to scare things away from your fruit, you're really attracting more birds to come to it. But so, when it doesn't move after a while, it just sits there, then they finally figure out that it's not alive.
Right. That's what people ask us all the time. Yeah. They ask us if they come in and ask if we carry them.
So those things really don't work.
They don't work. No.
They might work for a minute, but be a good way to
get them. Well, it's only working because it's different and it's new.
But now they have them where they got batteries where the birds' heads will turn and stuff, and things like that. That might be a little more effective, you know. But overall,
yeah. Well, we see ornamental owls. I call them the ornamental owl. It don't do nothing. Just stands there. You know, but I've often wondered, are they effective? And you just answered the question.
Well, they used to do that with snakes, too. They used to have plastic snakes and say, put these on your bushes and, you know, it'll keep the birds away. Well, it does it. It makes the birds come there because they're enemies. And so they're going to be scolding this plastic snake, you know. That's what they're going to be doing.
You know who the problem is, don't you? Humans. If we could just get rid of the humans, the animals would be fine, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And, you know, most people literally are afraid of wildlife. Kaylee, I mean, you see this with your friends, don't you? That they're afraid of the things that you just love.
Yeah.
Right? And you scare the bejesus out of them.
Yeah. Don't you? I bet I could with some of them.
But have you got any friends that love animals? like you do?
Just one, really. She enjoys snakes.
Snakes. What is it about snakes you like? I mean, you know, not many people like snakes. But it's good you do. I mean, and you don't have a lot of fear. Do you fear animals?
No.
That's awesome. How many times you been bit?
About 3 times. I mean, I don't, like, just want to get bit. And I mean, if it happens, it happens. You can't do anything about it.
Of course you don't. You don't go after wanting, well, I'm going to get bit today. It's a good day for being snake bit.
Bit by a crow?
Yeah, I mean, I've been bitten by a crow. Yes.
Who's crowing?
Yours. And it, I mean, it hurts, but I still love it. It's so cool because it, like, will say my name, and I really enjoy that.
Oh, a talking crow.
Yes.
Really? And he says Kaylee.
Mm-hmm.
He says...
He says a lot.
He says, Kaylee, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
He says, wipe your beak.
He says a lot of things.
Bye-bye. I mean, just...
How long have you had that crow?
Since it was a baby. I don't know, 2 or 3 years or something.
Crows are very smart.
Yes.
Crows and ravens are probably about the smartest birds. But they I had a raven, too, at one time, and it would just talk up a storm, too. He'd call my dog, and my dog was named Amarak. Was an Eskimo word. It's a hard word. A crow would go, I mean, the raven would go, come here, Amarak. And the dog, when they mimic you, they sound just like the person. Mm-hmm. He sounds exactly like me, and my dog would be coming, running, looking for me.
Really?
And it was the raven out there calling him. Yeah, it was funny.
A bird calling your dog.
Yeah.
Wow.
Come here, Amarak. And crows, too. I've seen them pull pecans off of a tree and fly over and drop them on the road so the cars will run over them and break them open and then get them.
Crows and ravens are the smartest birds of the species, right?
Right, yes.
You know, crows have been known to bring people trinkets, prizes or presents for deeds. I, believe it or not, have crows where I live that sit on a line, and I talk to the crows, and they seem to gravitate to it. Really, crows are amazing birds. Now, they can be cantankerous as heck too, and mean, and pick on you, you know, if you so bother them. Okay, so, you know, crows are very smart, and this is something a lot of people don't know, how smart a crow is. Do you get many people come in and ask about crows in the store?
A lot of people, yes, they ask about them, but they really don't like them at first. And I'll tell them, pay attention to them. They're very intelligent birds. And I said, pay attention to them. You'll get to like them. And they love peanuts in the shell. So I said, take some peanuts and feed them.
I could call a crow. I mean, I know I've had crows for long and ravens. They have all these guttural noises besides the caw, caw, caw. And you can call them. As long as they're not in a beeline business, like they're going somewhere, other than that, I can pretty much turn them and they'll come back. But they're really, really smart. And one thing, I teach Kaylee about the animals because she helps me with my lectures all the time. So she's got to know what certain birds do. So what I tell you about having crows on you, shoulders and whatever.
Just make sure your face isn't towards their beak.
Well, why is that? If you look toward them, what's going to happen?
Well, they might peck you in the eye.
Right. You're going to see their reflection of them in your eye. And the same thing, and Jim Fowler taught me this about toucans and stuff. He says they'll pluck your eyeball right out of your socket but if you turn and you look at them like that. So don't ever... Even parrots, I say, don't even, you got a parrot, a crow, if you got a pet crow, most people don't, but they'll peck you in the eye, and, you know, that could be severe.
Right. You're losing out?
Your eye can just pop right out.
Oh, yeah?
It's not hard to pull an eyeball out. So you got to know all kinds of things about it. And the same thing.
In an up-and-coming show, we will be pulling eyeballs out. No.
We will be talking about what animals actually can hurt you and which ones you should not have. Oh, yeah, there's a crow right there.
That's yours.
Oh, that's my crow. Oh. How about that? Well, they do pretty much look the same. You know what I mean?
He brought it in studio. I can't remember that.
Yeah, that's when his baby showed up to Kaylee. She hadn't seen that. So, oh, yeah, that's when he was little.
Typically, Steve always, not always, but he'll bring an animal in with him, and he's brought a corn snake and, you know, a crow, cricket, the owl. Cricket's a little bitty owl, very cute. And that's about it, isn't it? He brought in a sculpture one time, a carving you did. But Steve, like, once again, I want to tell you, Steve Hughes, he's, if you want to, what do they call that word? Commission you to do a he's a painter, an artist. He paints wildlife.
Ducks Unlimited, Trout Unlimited, Turkey Federation. I did that for about 7 years. That about wore me out, but I did that.
But he can do that. And Steve, if people want to get in touch with you and find out more, hold on, guys, save it. Hold on, I'm talking to you. Get off that smartphone. Okay. get that thing out. No, I'm kidding. If they wanted to commission you, or, I mean, some people want a picture done like this or done like that. Can you do that?
Yeah, they would just have to do my email or look me up. If you look me up on the internet, Stephen with a P, StephenBHughes.com. My website would come up, and it's got my telephone numbers and contact information on it. It's a big website. It's got all kinds of cool stuff on it.
Yeah.
But they could do that.
He can carve you a bird. He can paint you a
dog, your moose.
Whatever.
Draw your moose.
I said your moose, your dog, your bird, or birds you like.
Okay.
Like I have little Merlins now, and I've sold a number of the screech owls and I just sold a little saw-wet owl that Lori had at her shop.
And you can also get in touch with Steve if you go to Backyard Birds and talk to the folks there. If Lori's not there, maybe off that day or whatever, anybody in the store is going to know how to get in touch with Steve Hughes.
They will, yes.
That's Backyard Birds. Once again, where's that?
1819 Matthews Township Parkway. In the same parking lot as Harris Teeter, right next door to the Dairy Queen.
And they've got things in Backyard Birds that other bird feed stores don't have. Okay? They're very unique. Been out there for 26 years?
Mm-hmm.
Long time. Probably the oldest store like that around the area.
It is.
No doubt. Got bird feeders, bird, all kinds of sundries. What all do you have in that store?
Well, besides the basic bird feeders, bird houses, bird baths, lots of nature decor. Anything for your backyard. Lots of things to...
Even owl earrings.
She's got owl earrings.
Yep. Earrings made out of cereal boxes. Recycled cereal boxes.
Oh, they're made out of...
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Who's that artist?
No. Jabito, out of Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yeah, they started that company, and they just make all their earrings. It's that recycled cardboard. People love them. They're cute. Lots of animals.
Awesome. So a wildlife store as well as a bird store and sundries and all kind of groovy things. Bird feeders, bird baths.
Yes.
You know? So you name it. I love animals. I love nature. I'm a tree-hugging hippie if there ever was one. And, I hugged a tree. Two or three of trees get you grounded. You know, the day I was barefooted all day. So we got a caller.
Yes, Emily.
Emily, pull her up there. Let's talk to Emily. Good morning, Emily. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I have a question for Mr. Hughes.
Wonderful. Talk to me.
I live in the Union County area, and I am very concerned about coyotes that I have seen periodically. Actually, very much like... very close to my yard, and I have some animals. I have a small dog, and I also have a small miniature horse, and I didn't know if it was a threat for these coyotes. I only see one, but I have been told that they travel in packs. So is there a concern regarding these animals that have been kind of taking over? Is what we've seen in our area.
Yes, there is.
And is what?
There's concern, she's asking. Oh. And I said yes, because usually when you see, like, wolves, if you see one coyote, there's usually other coyotes around. I mean, some of them are go by themselves if they've been kicked out of the pack for whatever reason. But usually there's more than one, and they will eat a dog. My brother lives in Roosevelt National Forest in Glen Haven, Colorado, and he was out with his little dog. It was just walking in the yard with him. Of course, they live in a rural area, and a coyote came running right past him in the daytime and grabbed the dog, picked it up, and ran off with it. And that was the end of that story. Never saw that. So that can happen. But it would. I could see a pack chasing a little horse, too, a pack of them. But,
okay.
But wow. If yours is in a fenced in yard, no doubt.
Okay, so I should be very concerned about my dog, then, and not letting it out. Like
a little dog, really, yeah. I tell my neighbor that all the time. And
you only get one time.
That's right. You got a little teeny dog, and I keep telling them they let it out at night. I said, one day, one night, I said, that dog's going to be snatched up by coyote. But you know what their favorite food is now around cities? Cats.
What?
Cats. They'll eat cat in a heartbeat. Wow. So that, you know, where you have feral cats, I don't think there's going to be as many. Because they're everywhere.
Is there anything that I could do to around my property to maybe dissuade them from coming?
Yeah,
around
get
the
two
property?
Big dogs and put them in your yard. That's what you do. Other than that, there's really not a lot you can do because you don't see them very often.
Okay, well, I thank you all very much, and thank you, Ray. I enjoy your program. It's awesome, but anyway, thanks a lot, Mr. Hughes. I appreciate your information.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Go have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care.
And bye-bye.
Remember, they got to eat, too.
That's right. They have to eat, too. And I have a friend who lives on Cox Road out there in Weddington, and he lived next to a horse farm, his mom and everything, and like 75 acres, that's what they have there, but their house is right there next to it. And they had an old German Shepherd, and it was out in the yard one day, and during the day, maybe 4 o'clock, and about three or four of them attacked her German Shepherd and almost killed it right there in the daytime. And that's and that's right there near Weddington in Providence Road. I mean,
and these we talk about this frequently when Steve's on the show or Andrew's on the show about wildlife. Coyotes have become increasingly more threatening in the past decade in this area because they've just migrated into this area. And look, we feed them. No, you don't feed them just intentionally, but best place to live if you're any kind of living animal, including people, is around people because they throw away a lot of food. Garbage cans, for example. That's why when you go into the mountains, they've got these entrapment-type garbage cans that the bears can't get into. Mm-hmm. Look, they're looking for food. So as we move into the winter, you got to be aware of your trash, the containers it's in. You don't fit, you if you want wildlife around your house, feed your dog food on your deck. Feed your cat food outside. They love it. You're feeding the wildlife. And that's something you may want to think about.
And, you know, I have dogs, and one of them is really an outside dog, but they're outside. And not, and a lot of times you'll see them, you know, I have, an acre or more fenced in, I don't know exactly, but I have a lot of wildlife because I have another couple of acres behind me, and it's all wooded, and you'll see them running around and sniffing and smelling, and it's either, you know, deer, coyote, foxes, raccoons. They've killed two or three raccoons and a couple of possums that get in the yard, but one thing they did kill I didn't like was a groundhog, a woodchuck.
Oh, really? How do you know they killed
them? I saw them. I was out there in the yard. I'd see this woodchuck was making a home, and you never used to see those around here. They're in the mountains.
Right.
But now they came down. They've come down. I found two dead in Matthews, and then one live when it was living at my house until my dogs caught it. So, And skunks didn't used to be that prevalent around here. But now that we have quite a few skunks. So you're right. Where there's food, there's animals. It's harder for them to catch animals way out in the wilderness than it is around neighborhoods. So that's why you see the best animals that do the best are the smartest, like coyotes, starlings, sparrows, you know, the rats, mice. They all live around civilization the most. So there you go. They got bird seed falling from bird things. They attract everything.
Now, Steve, with, like, you know, snakes, you know, we talk about the cedar oil and all that. Is there something that, you know, doesn't attract, like, that coyotes don't like? Like, is there a scent or something that you can put out or no? Is that not a possibility?
Well, they don't like certain things, yeah, but, you know, coyotes are smart. If they see that you have dogs in your yard, big dogs or whatever, more than one dog, like if you had a Great Pyrenees in your yard, that would not be good for any coyote that got in there because they would just they'd rip it apart.
Yeah.
But they would do that with anything. But so, no, not really. Certain animals all mark the territory.
Okay, so there's nothing you can really prevent. Even if you have a fenced-in yard, there's really no way to prevent it. Just keep an eye on your dog or keep an eye on your animals.
They're knowledgeable.
Yeah, there's not going to be. I mean, they're found in different areas. Or, you know, they're not found everywhere.
Yeah.
They're in areas, I would say, like greenways would attract them because they have a place to run.
I see.
Go to. Out in the country, chickens. You know, if you had chickens, that's going to attract raccoons, possums.
So know where you live is basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just mean, know where you have animals. Yeah.
Know your environment. And foxes.
Oh, yeah, we got lots of foxes. And you asked about rabies earlier.
Yes.
So what happened?
Hold it. We're going to do an early break here, and we're going to come back and do rabies, okay? Because, yep, something you need to be aware of. It's the whole idea of this show, folks. You need to know this stuff, all you city slickers. So, you know, that's okay. Great place to be. You just need to know. So we're going to take a break here. We'll be back on the other side with more about your house. Give us a call if you wish. Got a question for Steve, Laurie, whatever, or Miss Kaylee. 704-227-8800. You're listening to Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Listen anywhere on the planet. Better yet, or not equal to, FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com. Stream us live there or go on AboutYourHouseRadio.com right there on the homepage. Click on it. You'll see it. Put you where you need to go. We'll be right back.
But it just kept getting tougher every day.
Rabies, okay, wildlife. You know, first of all, I'm going to ask Steve, what all could possibly carry rabies and be, you know, that you need to be aware of?
Well, when I was growing up, I could have foxes, raccoons, possums. Possums don't get rabies. And skunks. I had all those for pets. Now you cannot, the wildlife department, you can't have those things unless in some places you can have a skunk in certain states, but they're born in captivity in these skunk farms.
Right.
So foxes, raccoons are the biggest carriers of rabies around here. And you don't know that they have it. Like if they're born, they could be a carrier and you wouldn't know it. So, but to test them, they have to kill them and check their brain. So, you know. You have to have certain permits if you have those.
Well, we're going to come back there, but let's go to the phones and get her. Who is it? Luann?
Yes.
Luann, good morning, my dear. How are you?
I'm good, Ray. How are you?
I am wonderful, thank you. How could we help today?
Yeah, I'm thinking about raising some free-range chickens, you know, and I've gotten some different opinions on, you know, whether I should have a shelter built for them or not. I've had several people tell me, well, you don't need to worry about, you know, anything. They'll be fine, just free range. But then I've had other people tell me that, you know, if I leave them out all the time, then maybe the owls and the hawks are going to kill them. You know, so, I'm going to put some good money into it. I don't want to lose all my chickens. What do you think about that, Ray?
Well, I want to ask Steve what he thinks about it. I think chickens are food. You know, I mean, any wildlife, coyotes, we talked about that, fox, snakes are a threat for chickens, their eggs. You know, I know a listener here that had a chicken coop until they're out in the rural areas and they had a chicken coop, but they kept getting some nighttime callers, so to speak, you know. So they got rid of it.
What do you think about that, Kaylee? If you have chickens that are running around, what do you think is going to happen? What's going to fly down?
A bird?
Hawk.
Hawk.
Red-tail hawks, usually. Or, yeah. You know what really likes to come in there and drive chickens crazy?
What?
Cooper's hawks. They're just crazy. They'll fly right into a pen. But you know what a lot of people don't do? They don't put tops on their chicken pens.
Right.
They'll put their chickens to run in there. They have them ranging out. You know, they're not as apt to get killed during the daytime, but they do.
Oh, yeah.
Red tail comes down, or even in the evening, a great horned owl. Dogs are going to kill
an owl. An owl or a dog.
But if you don't put a top on your chicken pen, you're not going to have any chickens.
You're asking for trouble.
And in the spring and summer, like you say, the black rats are notorious about coming in, and they'll kill small chickens. I had a couple of bannies, full-grown bannies, and snakes would kill them but couldn't eat them. You know,
they just kill them.
Well, they thought they could eat them, but they're not brilliant, you know, so they try to eat them, and they can't eat it, so it's dead. But they will eat the eggs. So I would say if you don't, you can let them out. I would say, a fenced-in yard during the day.
Fenced-in area.
But at night, you put them back in their pen, because they're going to be killed if you don't. Foxes. Weasels?
I've been told by some people that some of those big roosters, you know, that they could knock off an owl with one of them big spurs, you know. But
they can do that in the daytime if they were see them. But you know what? big roosters are mean, and they'll tear something up. But guess what? Most wild animals attack things, and they're unaware of the attack.
Yeah,
that's what happens. So that's
well.
That's
I will definitely be putting a roof on my chicken pen then, because I definitely don't want to lose my eggs or my chickens.
What area are you in?
I'm out in a Unionville area.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Well, good luck on your chickens. I hope you wish you luck. I love me some fresh eggs, and every now and then a fresh hen wouldn't be bad, you know, on the dinner table.
Well, thank you, Ray, and thank you, Mr. Hughes. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
Well, yes.
Steve, what about coyotes and chickens? Should I be concerned?
Coyotes and chickens get along just great.
Are they?
The coyote will be very happy.
So, yes, they do eat chickens.
You know what? If you have chickens and you have turkeys or wildlife like in the country, goats or any small thing, you know, they're going to attract carnivorous animals.
Right. Remember, folks, as it gets cold, they're moving. Beware. Do not stack wood against a house. I know it's firewood season, too. Be careful on where you put your wood and stack it up, because you can ask for issues there. Not only rodents, but spiders and insects, you're just asking for more issues. So be careful where you put your wood.
Yeah. And, you know, you brought up fleas.
Oh, fleas.
Fleas transmit a lot of diseases.
Oh, fleas are horrible. Fleas,
and in the summer, ticks. People don't realize how many diseases that they transmit.
Right.
Do you know what kills more people in the world than any other thing?
Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes.
Yes, sir.
One of the smallest little critters.
It's responsible for more deaths on this planet than any other thing. It's mosquitoes.
You know, people ask that all the time. They'll ask me, thinking about some dangerous animal.
And masks don't help either, folks.
No. Well, you know, I always say the cloth mask they wear today, that's like that works about as well as a mosquito flying through a chain link fence.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
That's the analogy.
That's a great
because
one,
because I know about viruses, and I'm sorry. If you want to keep a virus, then you better have an N95 on.
Yeah.
Other than that, then you can't breathe. So
right.
Whatever.
Exactly. But I'll tell you. But, you know, think about wildlife. You live with them, okay? Or they live with you. Like it or not, it's an environmental situation. And the answer to it isn't go kill all the wildlife. You know, it's not. So don't go there. There's people you can call, Wildlife Critter Controls.
Yep.
Very, very numerous companies around town.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of those names.
But Andrew Cole with Song Dog Wildlife, member of the family. You can find him on the About Your House Radio website in the family section. Andrew's great, knows his stuff. Normally I have him on. Well, I will have him on again. But he's another wildlife enthusiast. Great guy.
Or you can call Kaylee. She'll come get all those animals.
Kaylee?
Yeah, I would.
Won't you,
you
Kaylee?
Would?
You'll get them.
You would go get them?
Yeah.
Trap them and everything. And
yeah.
That's awesome.
Issa would go get them, too. She didn't show up today.
Who's that?
Dr. Issa.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know if Kaylee was a doctor.
No.
She wants to, one of your other students.
Yeah,
she
has 1,000 school events all the time, so she wanted to come, but she couldn't come.
She had another conflicting event.
Yes, there's constantly conflicting.
There you go. Well, I appreciate all you coming in.
Go, Brandon.
Oh, I will. Oh, no, it's coming. I want to talk to Lori about her store once again. She hadn't had much mic time this hour, so I want to go back to her. Backyard Birds, very popular store out in Matthews area, in the Matthews area. And no, she's not going to open a second location. At least
No.
See, that wasn't a question. It was a statement, hoping she would agree, but I would have guessed that. Being in business is not an easy thing.
No, it's not.
It's
fun, though. It's fun, but it's not easy.
See a lot of people down there, too.
Yes.
Where are you again?
1819 Matthews Township Parkway. It's in the Matthews Festival. Same parking lot as Harris Teeter, right next door to the Dairy Queen.
Gotcha. And you predominantly sell bird feed? So winter's on the way. Take care of your birds, if you like birds. And learn what squirrels eat, learn what birds eat. Learn what the wildlife likes. And squirrels seem to get more controversy than any other little critter.
They do, absolutely.
You know,
they do.
And now's the time you want to go around your house, check for holes, check for ways of entry, points of entry. You know, because it's getting cold, and they're looking for habitat. You know, it's all natural. Hey, I do the same thing. Gets cold, I'll find some heat. You know the thing I like most on this planet, though?
Tell me.
Hot water. Don't you like hot water living in Alaska?
Yeah.
You didn't get a lot of that,
no,
did you?
No, we didn't. No.
Can you imagine living somewhere where you don't have a hot shower? Oh, my gosh.
I hate cold showers, brother. I'd never have a bath in Alaska, I guess.
You'd have a bath. It'd just be cold. But seriously, hot water. At any rate, folks, thank you, Kaylee, for coming.
You're welcome.
It was great to have you. You've never been on the radio before, have you?
I have not.
No, you have.
Yeah,
wow.
I have.
Wasn't a big deal, was it? Easy peasy.
Yes,
there
it was
go.
Good.
All right, we got to wrap it up, folks. Next Saturday, health is wealth. And Steve, once again, thank you. StephenBHughes.com with a P. PH. Right? Yeah, you got it. And look at this miraculous thing he does. Now, go out this week, spread some love. You know, look for the elderly. Help your neighbors, okay? Let's spread love and help each other and get through this fear factor business. You know, Life's short. Get out in nature. Hug a tree. Find out about nature if you don't know. Stick your foot in the water. Hug a neighbor. Hug a stranger. Just go out and make it a great day. And remember, let's go, Brandon. We'll be back next week.
Love and happiness. Yeah. Something that... Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone.